Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino, very excited to be here with you for what I'm calling the final Survivor 39 postseason interview that we're going to do here on Rob as a podcast. You never know, but I'm thinking that this is probably going to be it. But I wanted to get this woman here in the studio. I knew she was local. I thought this would be fun to hear from her and have her come in. So I'm very excited. Please welcome here to the studio with us today, the great Lauren Ashley Beck. Lauren, how are you?
I am well, Rob. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm very excited that you came out. We got to talk to you just for a couple of minutes. They really kept it tight
on the red carpet for
season 39.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Quick and tight. That's a good way to explain it.
Quickest I've ever been in and out of there.
Yeah? You did great.
Yes. So... I think we only spent like 4 or 5 minutes with everybody. Usually it's a little bit longer, but so we got to see you then.
Yes.
And then happy to have you come on by here today as we're getting closer and closer to Survivor 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
we'll talk about that today, too. How you been?
I've been great. You know, the finale was awesome. I had a great time with all my friends and things are definitely slowing down. Mm-hmm. We're kind of forgotten about now that Winners at War is coming around the corner, but it's kind of a blessing.
Yes.
I think that we've had a lot going on this season. So I'm happy that it's done. It ended nicely and mm-hmm. I have great friends out of it. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, what did you do over the holidays?
So I went to Northern California.
Yes.
My husband's family lives up there. We spent some time up there. My mother-in-law takes care of me, treats us like babies. I don't have to mm-hmm. do anything. So it was fun. It was a good
yes,
time.
Yes. I got to meet your husband briefly at the after party.
Did he talk?
I'm not even sure if I met him, that you were with him.
Okay.
And I asked you about that he had a broken foot.
Oh, yeah. So if you see my husband out and about, can you tell him that adults don't skateboard? Because he broke his foot skateboarding. And when he came home, it was like black and blue. And he's like, oh, it's fine. I just sprained it.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm like, no, he's like, I'm going to walk to the doctor because we live mm-hmm. right by a hospital.
Yes.
Like, you're not walking to the doctor. I'm going to take you. Took him. It's broken. He should be out of the boot in like 3 weeks.
Is he an avid skateboarder?
He is an avid skateboarder.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he's like, you know, Tony Hawk or anything like that. Tony Hawk back in the day, maybe.
Back in the day.
But, you know, he's pretty good. He impressed me.
So Tony Hawk is a very timely reference at my house because for some reason my kids saw like the babysitter showed them like a YouTube video
of Tony Hawk.
And I was trying to show them like, hey, guys, look, these are all the people that are on Survivor 40. And I said, look at this part. This guy, that's Tony. And my son's like, oh, Tony Hawk. No, Tony Blackhouse.
That's so funny because in the 90s, it was such a thing. Like Tony Hawk. He's so cool. Like,
yeah,
I didn't know anything about skateboarding, but I knew Tony Hawk.
Yeah. OK, well, you knew a lot about Survivor. That was a big thing that you were such a big Survivor fan who was on the show. How did you get into watching Survivor at a young age?
OK,
your parents into it?
It's funny. I actually, and this is a story I told at casting. My mom is going to kill me for saying this, but I'm going to say it. So my dad, my stepdad and I would watch it together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always say, oh my God, this show is so cool. I want to be on it. And my mom would be like, that's some white people shit. And like, literally, like, she's like, you can't go outside. I mean,
yeah,
to be fair, when I was watching it, that's a lot of what we were seeing.
I think a lot of people would say that.
Yeah, they would. Right. Well, hopefully we're changing it. Listen,
where's the lie? Yeah.
39 was the most diverse cast we've had. So I think we're on the up and up.
Yeah.
It was just always a dream of mine, something that I've always wanted to do. And I think that it was something that I always told myself I wouldn't be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like a pipe dream. So I started nannying for one of the Foo Fighters, who is really friendly with Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working for them for like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, oh, we're going to go to a concert. Jeff Probst is going to be there. And I was like, what? Jeff mm-hmm. Probst? And we started talking. They had no idea that I love Survivor so much. I had no idea that they love Survivor so much.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about it. And they were like, if you want to make a tape, make a tape. So I was like, okay, I'll make a tape. So mm-hmm. I literally, on a flash drive, went to the concert, Cal Jam, mm-hmm. in San Bernardino with a flash drive in my pocket and handed it to Jeff Probst. And he auditioned me right there.
So when you say you had a flash drive in your pocket,
yes.
you had like your video was
literally,
on.
Literally, yes. I talked for 7 minutes to the camera.
Seven minutes?
I know.
That's it's the funny. Longest I've ever heard.
It's funny because when I sent it to the cast, they're like, Lauren, it's supposed to be 3 minutes. And I'm like, I do what I want. I make my own rules. So yeah. I actually didn't.
I mean, there's no chance he watched 7 minutes of the video.
No, definitely yeah. not. Yeah. I didn't realize that there was a time limit on it. So I just talked.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I gave it to him and I got a call. I gave it to him on a Saturday. I got a call Monday morning from Jesse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what month was this?
That was October.
Okay. October yeah. of 2018. Yes.
Yes.
And then you ended up getting thrown into the show that way. Who were some of your favorites when you were watching the show when you were younger?
So growing up, definitely Sandra was somebody that I absolutely adored. Sepia, I really look up to.
I just talked to her.
Did you?
Yes.
See, and
just posted an interview with her.
I want, and I'm going to listen to it. Like, yeah. I want to meet her so bad. But really, everyone that has played the game has inspired me in different mm-hmm. ways. So that was one of the reasons why I
what
wanted
was
to
it about Survivor? You talked about how your mom said, hey, that's not for you. What was it that you saw in the show as a young person that made you feel like, oh, no, this is not only do I love this, I want to do this.
I just think because it's so outside of who I am or who I was, like when mm-hmm. I was little, my mom put me in pageants and I did ballet and tap yeah. and all this stuff. And I just wanted to have an adventure and yes. like do something different. I mean, you know, when you're 7 years old and you're watching Survivor, you're not like, oh, why do I want to play this game? But you're looking at it like, this is really cool. These people are living outside. Is it real? Are they really living outside and no one's giving them pizza on the side or whatever? So yeah, it was just intriguing and something that I wanted to prove to myself that I could do.
Yeah. And I want to let the listeners get your background. I was asking you downstairs about where you're from.
Yes. So I actually lived in Bakersfield, California until I was 12. And then I moved to Michigan in the suburbs in like, I was the only Black girl in my graduating class. I didn't have a lot of friends. It was very hard for me growing up. I didn't really fit in with the Black kids. I didn't really fit in with the white kids. And it was very difficult for me. I didn't have a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Like it was really hard for me growing up.
Is that something that helps prepare you for Survivor?
It definitely helped prepare me because it allowed me to be more adaptable.
Yes,
because
I've never felt like I fit in yet.
I still don't feel like I fit in. I think after... yeah. Moving to California, I think, really opened my eyes to different types of people. Yeah. And it's like a huge melting pot. And, you know, I love everyone that I grew up with, but I think that I just needed to feel embraced. Mm-hmm. And so going into Survivor, I knew that I would be able to adapt and adjust and make friends where I could see those friendships, you know?
And when you came back to California, what was it that you wanted to get into?
So when I was 17 and I graduated high school, I thought I was going to be an actress yes. and be in the stars and the lights. And I ended up moving to Northridge with two mm-hmm. other people. Yeah. They were dancers and they wanted to dance with Michael or Janet Jackson and whoever. And that was wild because we were all just trying to find this Hollywood life mm-hmm. and we ended up being waiters. I think I worked at Hollister. Like it wasn't what we thought it was. We moved to the Valley. Like it wasn't what we thought. Yeah. You know, we thought we were going to be like the Hills.
I hear that. Yeah, I hear that.
You know,
that.
But that's what the Valley is affordable. And mm-hmm. so that's what you do.
It's a relatable story.
It's yeah. So I was 17 and then I was working all these odd jobs, auditioning here and there, doing stupid little stuff. Mm-hmm. And then at 19, I met my husband and I moved into his college dorm. He was going to film school. Mm-hmm. And then slowly but surely, I realized acting was something that was sort of pushed upon me when I was a little girl. My mom was very much Kris Jenner. People call us the Kardashians. Like, it's a thing. Yes. So she was very much a stage mom. And I realized, like, I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing this for my mom so she can be Kris Jenner. You know, that's not what I want to do. And I love to talk. I haven't shut up since I got here. Mm-hmm. And so journalism was something that was always on my mind.
Oh, really?
I love to write.
Yeah.
I love investigative journalism. I love true crime. Serial is one of my favorite podcasts. Next to Rob Has a Podcast, mm-hmm. of course.
So thank you.
I had to, you know, plug that in. But yeah, so I fell into journalism and I didn't have a lot of family help. So going to school, like I told you downstairs, was late for me. I had to put mm-hmm. myself through school. I actually got my degree, was working two nanny jobs and taking any freelance hosting job I could get before I got on the show.
Yeah.
It was insane. Like I was running around like a mad woman.
So you talked about journalism. Did you end up following your interest in journalism?
Yeah. So I actually was able to get in contact with a company that's based out of New York called Talent Recap.
Yes.
And they were like, listen, I know you want to be an on-air host, but we're going to have you start off writing, see how that goes, and then we'll put you on the carpet. So I was writing for them. They covered things like American Idol, The Voice, all that good stuff. Not that was necessarily interesting to me, but you know this as well as I do. Mm-hmm. When you move to LA, You take what you can get. Yeah. So I was like, I'll take that. Like I was telling you downstairs, I got to do some freelance stuff for Power of Women for Variety, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. I got to meet some kick-ass women. And then I did like a couple digital networks where I talk about Justin Bieber and the Kardashians, and It wasn't fulfilling, but it paid some bills.
Sure.
So it was nice. That's really like, I want to follow in Andrea Belkey's footsteps. Like, she is doing exactly what I would love to do. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Hasselbeck, you know, these are women that I adore, and they're so great at what they do. And that's what I would love to do.
So right now, what are you working on now? Post-Survivor.
So post-Survivor, I actually had a awesome, awesome opportunity that I just flew to Philly for.
I saw you in pictures with Bryce and Wendell.
Yes. Yeah. So I actually, bummer, just found out I didn't get it. So I'm not going to say what it was for. Mm-hmm. But I did go out there. It was for a great network. And I got to meet up with Bryce and Wendell. That was wonderful. Mm-hmm. So now I'm just kind of...
Wasn't co-host of the Purple Pants podcast, was it?
I was not. Okay. It was not. I wish, but no. Bryce has his own thing going on. He's great. But I love them, and it was so much fun. And, you know, in this business, I think you get a lot of no's before you get yeses. Mm-hmm. And I have a fire in the pit of my stomach that's not going to go away, and I won't be happy until I'm doing what I love to do. Okay. So.
All right. Well,
give me a job, Rob.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see how today goes.
Okay.
But we got to see, and I'm trying not to use the word fire. I'm trying not to use that word.
That's
the
right.
Word
it's
fire
a little
to,
bit of a trigger,
to segue back to Survivor.
But, sure.
Of course, we got to see you play this season, and there was a lot of talk that you were somebody who was this big figure. Keep your eye on Lauren. Who's running the game? Is it Lauren? Is it Tommy? I'd love to talk to you a little bit about your adventure in 39 days of Survivor. So what was that like for you as because you you know, in talking about your background, you don't really have the, you know, out, you said you want an adventure, but you didn't really talk about, you know, being sort of a, you know, in the outdoors. Was that a big shock for you to go out on Survivor and be thrust into that? Because it was for me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm an indoor cat. Yeah. I don't go outside for more than, you know, I'm going on a hike to the Hollywood sign. That's the extent of my outdoorsmanness.
Yeah.
But before the show, I did do a lot of survival training. My former nanny boss hired this guy. We slept outside. Mm-hmm. I cried my eyes out, and I'm glad I did it then because I didn't want to come out there bawling. You guys saw me cry enough.
Yeah.
I didn't want to come out there and be so shocked. So I think what was so shocking for me was being out there for that long. Initially, there's so much adrenaline and you're so excited that like it wasn't really a factor for me. Like I'm like, yeah, I'm outside, but I'm playing Survivor. You know, this is fun. Mm-hmm. I think once you get to like day 15 and it's raining and your clothes are wet, it's like, OK, This is what I signed up for. What? Where am I?
So could you help us understand the working relationship that you and Tommy had in the game that we got to see?
Yeah. So. You know, Tommy and I are the most unlikely duo. Mm-hmm. I think that people didn't expect us to work together. I mean, to be honest with you, I didn't even really notice Tommy in like the first couple days. Like it was kind of like, oh, hey, like there's this redheaded kid. He's nice, whatever. But it wasn't like I'm going to work with him. But, you know, the thing about Tommy and I that was so great is we were able to build relationships on all sides and then come together and collaborate stories. So where I was weak, he was strong. He's a very physical player.
Yeah.
I'm not. And so I told myself I need to find somebody that I can sort of hide behind that is kind of playing a similar game to me, but that is going to be more of a threat than I am.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how much of a strategist I was going to be. I thought I was just going to go out there and sort of make friends and be bubbly and smile. I honestly thought I was going home first, to be real. But I think once Tommy and I were locked, it was a partnership. It was, I want to tread lightly what I say, but we would bring ideas to each other and bounce ideas off of one another.
Well, that is the best that you could hope for on Survivor,
yes.
Where you find another person who really complements the things that are not necessarily your strong suit, and that you guys can work together. And there's, you know, so many great examples of this throughout the history of Survivor. You know, whether it's, you know, people talking about JT and Steven and Malcolm and Denise, and, you know, all the, you know, Colby and Tina, these great duos who are really strong complements to one another.
Absolutely. And I think that's what we were. And it's beyond me. Like, if I saw Tommy and I in the game, they would be the first one of us would be out. And that was very shocking to me, mm-hmm. because it got to a point where we were just like, we don't care if you guys know we're working together. Mm-hmm. You already know. So this is what we're going to do. And I think that maybe that hurt me because I didn't realize that people thought that I was the stronger of the two. It's a compliment and I'm grateful for that, but it sucked because it didn't get me to the final three, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. When you look at how it ended up working out for Tommy, do you feel like that if the roles were reversed, if he went out at four, you feel like that you would have been the person to get the 8 votes and have the runaway win?
I think, you know, and I told you this on the carpet, I said yes. Mm-hmm. I think it's very easy for me to sit here and be like, yeah, I would have won. But you never know what the jury's thinking. And when you come out of that game, everything that people is talking about are totally different than what they're saying in the game. In the game, the perception was that, yes, I think that I would have won. We haven't had a woman winner since 34. Mm-hmm. I'm Black. I think that all of those things could have really helped me. And I think where I was comfortable sitting next to any of them because I could have separated my game from any of them.
Yeah.
So I think for them, and especially for Tommy, like, I think with Tommy, I could have said, listen, he's promised you guys all of these things. I didn't promise anything to anyone besides Tommy.
Yeah.
My goal was to play with integrity and love. And I lied, but I didn't use my relationships to lie. And mm-hmm. I think had I made it there, I would have said, listen, Tommy has promised you this. And then if it had been with Nora and Dean, I think with Nora and Dean, it's the two of them play. How do I want to say this? I think that Nora's game, both Dean and Nora's game in the beginning overshadowed anything they did at the end.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say. And so I think anyone sitting next to the two of them could have gotten more votes. I don't know whether it had been me, Janet, whoever.
So I think what you're saying is that they ended up coming on strong at the end. They came on hot at the end, but you feel like it was too much of a deficit for them to make up. And this, I mean, this came up in the final tribal council of like, yeah, you know, Dean, you had a good, fourth quarter, but the score was whatever to whatever.
And that's what I always say.
Point,
yeah.
Right.
Like Dean had a great week. He was doing all these awesome things. But before that, like, you know, in the beginning when he had talked about splitting the votes, we had all heard that story when they came over to the merch. So we're laughing at him. Like, I love you, Deanie, but like, we're laughing. Like, what is this guy doing? So when he came out with all these trinkets, it's like, yeah. And then Tommy said the perfect thing. Yeah, you have all these things, but you didn't use
stuff.
Them. You found stuff. You have little things to hang up on your wall, but you didn't use them to impact the game. And that's true. And with Nora was on her own adventure. So mm-hmm. Nora, sure, she was an immunity beast. She killed it. However, Nora did not have her pulse on the game at any given moment. Mm-hmm. I think that it was very difficult because Nora plays it the Nora way, which I admire about her. But I think she wasn't playing Survivor in the way that we know it to be.
Yes, the way it has not been yet.
Ever.
Yeah,
which is awesome, which I applaud her for being herself. That is amazing. And Nora is actually one of the first people I connected with on Vokai. We actually looked through Jason's bag together the first day.
Yes.
And it never made air.
Oh.
Yeah.
She went through Jason's bag?
We both went through Jason's bag and she lied and told everyone that it was just me. Yeah.
Nora.
I know. And so that's when right off the bat I was like, oh no, I cannot work with this girl.
Have you kept in close contact with Nora since the show?
I love Nora. Actually, it's funny. Nora, I am on Lean Out now. I'm on Nora's
diet
program.
Oh, good.
Yes, she's got me drinking 3 liters of water a day and eating rabbit food and all this great stuff.
But and it's been great.
It's been, I'm almost, I'm a little low on energy, but I think, I love Nora. Nora has a heart of gold and she's doing this program for me. To make me feel good about myself. And she's not charging me and she's mm-hmm. she's great. She's a wonderful friend. I love her.
Do you get a lot of voice memos?
I was just going to say, I probably have like four 4-minute voice memos that I need to attend to and listen to.
So I have been, since I got in contact with Nora, I've been using the voice memo. What's great about the voice memo is making the voice memo.
Yes.
What I don't love is the part where I have to listen to voice memos. I feel like
come on, just finish, get on with
it. Well, I feel like if I could end up some sort of, this is a very selfish relationship that I'm looking to have where I could just do the voice memos and then get back text messages, which I guess this is not unlike the relationship I have with most of the listeners where I sit here and talk and they just send me tweets.
We're very similar in that way, Rob, because I think, I want to give out the voice memos and then Nora will send me one back. It'll take me a couple days to respond or I'll send a text back and she'll send me another voice memo. And I'm like, and, no.
I don't feel like that when I'm talking with someone, but in terms of like, this is just like another thing. I have 2 minutes. I got that's a lot.
I'm with you.
But I do feel like I can really express myself in the voice memo.
And I think Nora is very right. You get to say exactly what you mean and how you mean it. So that's great. Thank you, Nora. Shout out to Nora.
She's changed the whole texting game.
She has changed when I went to Philly, Wendell was voice memoing people. I'm like, what the effect that this girl has on people.
She's
we love you,
it.
Nora. Yes.
She did it. And that's incredible. Okay. So Amanda Danforth, I want to bring in some questions from the listeners that I asked the patrons for questions for today. She wanted to ask the question, what's the difference between your game and Tommy's game? if you had to be able to sort of say, okay, you know, Tommy's game was this, but your game is this.
Tommy's game was, oh my God, I love you, Tommy. Tommy's game was, I played my game with my heart and with real connections. And I think that maybe that was to my detriment. Tommy's game. Okay. If we were at Final Tribal and I were to say, you know, like I was saying in the beginning, how could I separate my game from Tommy's? Tommy would listen to what I said. So, so for example, with the Kelly vote, he brought it up. I said no. Multiple times because I was really close with Kelly.
Yeah.
And things were coming up like lies and things that happened on New Lyro that I found out. And then I said, okay, let's vote Kelly out. Well, then the vote became Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Tommy needed me more than I needed him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. In terms of, and look, he's the winner.
He's the winner. Listen, Tommy got to the end doing what he did, and I applaud him. And it's amazing to see someone win this game without advantages, without winning immunity. That's phenomenal. That's like old school Survivor. That's what I grew up watching. I think, though, it would be nice to see someone who did experience a lot of the game, which is me. You know, I mean, yeah.
So Dan Sinensky wants to know, why doesn't Tommy think he was wrapped around your finger?
Are you sure he doesn't think that?
I don't know.
I don't know. You know, you'll have to ask Tommy that question because I think.
Yeah.
I think that Tommy does think that he, you know, I don't think he's not going to sit there and say I was wrapped around your finger. But literally, like, this kid would come and like be upset and be like, Liz, what do we do? And I'm like, oh, you're a puppy. Like, let me help you. You're like, but I love him. Like.
So I guess my question in trying to understand the Tommy game, and Tommy broke that all down in when I got to speak with him, was how much of that was Tommy, does he want you to think that? Or do you feel like that's definitely?
I think that maybe he thinks that he wanted me to think that, but it was the case. Like I literally, Elaine, anyone will tell you, I'd be like, Tommy, he'd be right there. Mm-hmm. Like, right, whatever. Right. And maybe that was a part of his game to make me think that I was in control of him, like a puppet master. But like, I was never out there like, oh yeah, I'm in control of this. I got, you know, that was never me. But I did have a pulse on the game the entire time. And I'm a people person. And I would sit there and observe people every day and say, okay, how is this person going to move? Why is this person going to do this? And I don't think that Tommy, like, I think from the beginning, it's hard to say any vote outs that Tommy spearheaded without having someone else. And I think that for me, I can say, no, like I got Molly out. Like, mm-hmm. Of course, you need your tribe to help you do those things. But that idea didn't originate from Tommy, you know?
Do you feel like, was he more comfortable, though, with propping you up as, hey, everybody, like, oh, Lauren is running things. Lauren is in charge, to sort of like have you as a shield in front of him?
I don't think that I shielded Tommy in that way, mm-hmm. because I think that regardless of what he might, like, you even saw it when people thought we were trying to convince our swap tribe to vote out Dan. Like, he can be very intense about things. And I think if Tommy had said, Lauren's a bigger threat than I am, people would have been like, oh, mm-hmm. you have to go home.
Yeah.
So our job was to let everyone know we'll cut each other's throats. But that was never the intention on my end.
Yeah.
That was always his intention. But again, that's because he felt like he couldn't sit next to me because he felt like he couldn't separate our moves. And mm-hmm. I don't know that he could.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. Again, Tommy won. He played a great game. I think that they were all afraid to sit next to me because I could speak volumes to the game that I played, especially as a girl who doesn't go outside. Like, and I'm right. in a freaking dress, you know? So I think that did he play it up? I don't think so. No, I don't think that was the perception out there either.
When you saw in the finale, when Tommy is trying to, you know, go into Nora and say, like, hey, you got to go after Lauren. Did you know all of that ahead of time? Or like, was that a surprise for you as you're watching the show?
So this is the thing. When we get home, you know, we have no one else that we can talk to. We're all on the phone with each other all the time.
Yes.
Tommy and I talk every day, multiple times a day. Mm-hmm. And it sucks because he couldn't be honest with me even when we got home. And I had multiple people telling me, Lauren, he conspired against you. And I'm like, no, he didn't. He would never do that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, totally sticking up for this guy. Yeah. And I will tell you, up until second to last episode, mm-hmm. he was not honest with me.
Yeah.
And he sent me a text at 5 p.m. our time and 8 his time, being
voice,
like,
memo or text?
Text, yeah. Being like, you're gonna hate me, just remember I love you. And it's just like, okay, like,
it's not a text you ever want to get.
Yeah, no. And like, this is my thing. At the end of the day, a game is a game. Tommy didn't know me before this game. He made $1 million for his family and his fiance Nicole, who I love. But I think what I would have wanted was for him just to say to me, listen, I couldn't sit next to you. Mm-hmm. This is what I had to do for myself. And it would have been fine. But it sucks to know that that's how it all went down. And when I saw it, of course, it hurt. It hurt my heart.
Yeah, that's a tough spot. It's also like, you don't know, like, maybe they're not going to show it. Maybe I don't have to have this conversation.
And I think he was holding out hope for that because we are great friends. And he is like a brother to me. And I think that, you know, he thought and hoped that that wouldn't come out, and he would say, like, please don't hate me, like, you're gonna hate me. And it's like, it's a game, dude, like, come on, like, whatever. So I don't have a problem with it. I think it was very emotional for me to watch, and I cried backstage before I came out. I was a mess. But you know, it's okay. That's all she wrote. It is what it is.
Corey B wants to know, other than winning the Final Four immunity or fire making, is there a move that you could have made that would have helped you get to the final three?
Yes. Because this was like almost a year ago, but I'm thinking, like, when I think about it, I think the smartest thing would have been to vote out Nora instead of Karishma.
Yeah. Okay. Nora instead of Karishma at which vote?
Where Karishma went home.
Okay.
Where
DK
blew up.
Chillin starts saying, like, hey, guess what?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So I think that
vote out Nora. That vote.
Yes. Yes. Because I think, shout out to Karishma, because she was a freaking such a strong woman. She had no mm-hmm. one out there. And I think that Karishma eventually would have gone home. Mm-hmm. I think Nora, being the challenge beast that she is, we didn't think, like, oh, she'll go on an immunity run and win this. So I think that was my biggest mistake. I think I should have kept Karishma and sent Nora home.
Yeah, she was just this free person that was out there. We saw throughout the game that Missy kept, and she did not do it in a way that made Karishma happy. Because they're like, okay, you're an extra vote. You're going to the final three with me. But it does feel like that if you, like, because I think you could have done that. I think you could have.
I could have. And I think that it sucks because I think, too, again, in that game, perception is reality. So when old Lyro comes over and they're telling us all these things about Karishma, mm-hmm. and it puts a seed in your mind, like, okay, like maybe she isn't like what? Maybe you want to agree with what they're saying,
right.
But I'm also the kind of person that wants to see for myself who you are. I want you to show me. I'm not going to pass judgment on you, but I think it's very easy to allow those thoughts to creep into your mind of what people are saying about other people.
And you hadn't met her until the merge.
I hadn't met her until the merge. No. And it made me uncomfortable at the merge when Kelly and Janet came to me and they were like, you know, Karishma's with us. And I'm like, so what does that mean for me? Like, what do you mean?
Right.
And why is she so with you and not with them? Like something didn't sit right with me about that. And I felt that they had made a stronger bond. And before the swap, we had all decided, okay, OG Vokai, we're in this together. We're going to play this game. You guys throw challenges if that's what you have to do, because we're a 4-4 split over here. I don't know what's going to happen. And they wouldn't throw challenges. They were, you know, you can expect that's kind of dumb for us to think like, oh, they're going to go to tribal just to see if they'll go home. Like, no, people are going to stay out of tribal as much as they possibly can. So when the merge happens and we come back and then we find out that Jack is voted out, which I thought was absolutely ridiculous because we need to keep the OG Vokai number strong. It just was all weird. And then they were saying that Dean was super close with them. So I'm like, what the hell is going on over here? Like something, it just wasn't added up. And it made me feel in the pit of my stomach. Like that's before Tommy came to me. He was like, I want to vote Kelly. And I was like, no. And then I find out about this idol play at New Lyro, and I go to him and I'm like, I feel sick. Kelly's got to go home because something's not
so
right.
So I just want to make sure at the merge,
yes.
when
I did not see Jack on that,
because it was not, and again, they had a lot of stuff to get to at the merge, but that it seemed like that was not a big deal for anybody.
It was a big deal because for me, it was like we had talked. I mean, I will say this. The early days of Vokai were some of my best days of playing the game.
Yeah.
I feel like we would do every night, we do gratitudes where we'd like say three things we were grateful for in the game. We'd cry. That's what Chelsea always, she's like, Lyra was too busy having fun while Vokai was praying. And it's true. Like, and I think that's what helped us win. Like we were such a tight knit group. So for me to see that Jack was gone, it was like, oh, there's a crack in our group.
Yeah.
And then the way that I found out about it was they all came back, and one morning we wake up and Kelly comes to me and she's like, hey, you didn't by chance tell anyone that I gave Dean an idol to send Jack home, did you? And I was like,
yeah,
wait, what?
Yeah.
What happened? So then I go to Janet and I'm like, Janet, what happened? And she's like, listen, Kelly was supposed to tell you when we merged, and I was supposed to tell Tommy. So then I'm like, what is going on? So I go to Kelly and I'm like, why didn't you tell me this? She's like, I forgot. And I'm like, oh, no. When someone tells you they forget something in Survivor history, I don't trust you.
It's not like you're so busy doing other stuff.
What are we doing? Yeah. Right. We're sitting, waiting, hanging out, waiting for challenges. So I'm like, OK, wait, this girl. OK, I was like, she's my number one. What is going on that I didn't know?
So
that
the cover had kind of been blown on that.
So I approached Jamal and Kelly and I said, hey, look, like it makes me feel bad that you guys didn't let me know about this idol play. And the way that I find out is by being accused of revealing something that I didn't even know.
Right.
So that really shook my faith in what we had built. And before the swap, the next vote, if it was going to be someone, it was going to be Jamal. Mm-hmm. Well, now they come back and Jamal, Janet and Kelly are super close. So I'm just like, OK, no, this is not going to work. And that's where Tommy and I made the decision. Listen, we need tribal lines are blurred. We're done with OG Vokai. We need to build a new tribe.
Yeah.
And that's what we did.
Okay, so that was a much bigger factor about voting out Kelly.
Oh, for me, Kelly's vote out was all strategy. And another thing I'm going to tell you guys that they didn't show is Kelly came to me one day and she was like, so I'm going to make a fake idol.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, you can't make a fake idol unless you have an idol to have idol papers, unless you're that one guy that believes a stick is an idol. Like,
yes,
so in my head as a Survivor fan, I'm like, okay, so she has an idol and she just told me she had one without realizing it. And then she sat on the shelter and made fake idols in front of everybody. So for me, it was just like She was such a... Listen, this girl went to Harvard. I went to University of Phoenix.
What do you mean she made fake idols in front of everybody?
She made fake idols in front of everybody. You can ask...
For what was the purpose of her fake
idol? I don't think she realized that anyone could see her. So she was trying... We had got this at the Merge. We had this really weird sewing kit. Mm-hmm. And like Karishma would like make us clothes and whatever. And so she was sitting on the shelter, like kind of out of view.
So you're saying that Kelly got voted out with two real idols and a fake idol?
I don't know if she ever made it, but she told me she was going to.
Yeah.
And to me, so it was red flag. You're making fake idols. Red flag. You idol Jack out and you gave Lyro an idol to idol out one of our people. Even though Jack is a challenge beast, I felt that it was too soon to make that move because we needed strong Vokai numbers.
It seemed like that also that you and Tommy were able to get in close with Dean, like almost immediately at the Merge. How was that able to happen?
So it became pretty apparent at the swap that, I mean, people talk, right? Yeah. So Elaine tells us, let me back up. Aaron tells us he's not close with Dean. He doesn't like Dean, whatever, whatever. Elaine tells us, I don't know what you're talking about. They're bros. They like each other. Mm-hmm. So the way that it felt with Dean was that he was sort of a free agent. And that he didn't have a home and that the people on old Lyro had betrayed him by voting Chelsea out, not telling him.
Yeah.
And then he didn't feel an allegiance to Vokai. So for us, it was like, let's pull in somebody that we can use or have as a number, because like I said in the show, and everyone's making fun of me for this, because I was like, Dean's a numbers guy. And what I meant by that is he will go wherever the numbers are.
Okay.
Yeah. People are like, Dean's a numbers guy. So I'm like, no, he's a numbers guy. Meaning if there's eight people here and two, he's going to go with the eight. Right.
I think my theory was that you use him to have numbers.
No, it was like, he goes where the numbers are. So I was like, okay, let's tell Dean and because the pit of my stomach, I was like, okay, this is not cool. Like OG Vokai is not telling us what's really going on. Mm-hmm. So let's pull Dean in, Tommy. And we were scared and we did it. And he was like, you guys are the only people that haven't turned your backs on me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, yep. So what are we going to do? And then it was like, all right, this is what we're going to do. So, and then like, there was all this backstory about, you know, the target being Missy. And I had also another relationship that you didn't really see a lot of was her and I and Elaine. And I wanted to play this game with another strong black female, especially growing up. I didn't have that.
You talked about that from the preseason. That you eyed Missy from
we call it Jump Street is what we call it. But from finals week, I saw her and I was like, oh, hell, there's no way in hell we're both going to get on the show. And when I saw her, it was like, a rush just came over me and I was like, I'm going to work with her. And I even told Jeff, I was like, I'm going to work with her no matter what. And he's like, Lauren, you don't even know her. I'm like, I just know. And he's like, all right, whatever. So I was really tight with Missy and had built a great bond with her, and Elizabeth and Elaine and I are like the best of friends. So I had felt that those three were being genuine with me at that time and I could trust them and I was having fun with them. And so it just became a strategy move for me. And again, like I said, Kelly is so freaking smart and such a strategist, like to think of giving Dean an idol to vote. I couldn't have even thought of that. Mm-hmm. So that's what it was for us.
You know, there's like a alternate universe for the season where that, you know, the women's thing does end up happening and you end up where then it was, you know, Missy talked about that a lot, about how she wanted to then bring you along as one of her numbers. How do you think that ends up working out for you?
You know, I think it could work out well for me because I think with Missy is a challenge beast. Mm-hmm. She is strong. She's athletic. She's very in your face. She will tell you how it is. And I think eventually that would have played in my favor.
Yes.
You know, she was playing hard from day one. I was playing hard, but under the radar hard.
Mm-hmm.
And people didn't look at me as a threat. I wasn't a physical threat. Like, I just wasn't. And so I think it would have. And I did want to do all women's. Janet was super hard on not all women's. And come to find out, that's because her and Tommy were very close also since Jump Street. So it was like, you know, I would have loved to have worked with women. Didn't even have to just be women of color. I would have loved to have worked with Elizabeth and Janet and whoever, Nora. And, you know, it's unfortunate that didn't work out because all of the women on my season are strong, amazing women. Mm-hmm. And we all deserve that.
Yet the really interesting one would have been, I think, then if Tommy would have gotten voted out when the tribes were split up and when you were on the group that was voting for Aaron. But if he would have gotten voted out then, and I talked with Elaine about this and talked with Karishma about this, that, you know, if Tommy gets picked off then, you know, Elaine felt like that, okay, well, now she's expendable and that you were going to be the new Elaine in Missy's thing. And it would have been interesting because then also Aaron would have been gone, so that Missy really would have needed like a true number one. And that would have been, I think, an interesting way to see how the rest of that season plays out.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been great. It would have been fun. And I would have loved nothing more than for it to go that way. I think...
And you would have had no blood on your hands. You've got exactly. A great ally on the jury.
Exactly. Exactly. And it sucks that it didn't play out that way.
Well, I really think that it's sort of like an underrated thing that happens with Survivor players, where sometimes like a person who is a key ally for you and they just get voted off and had nothing to do with you. And I talked about this the other day with Jeremy Collins, with when Andrew Savage got, you know, idled out of the game, or Steven. And these are people that are going to be, you have to dismantle this thing to get to the end. Eventually you have to stab your friends in the back. Yep. And sometimes it just happens for you.
And it's good.
And it's a great thing.
Exactly. Exactly. I think
it stinks for the day.
It does, but your hands are clean.
And the same thing with you know, speaking of Jeremy, with Natalie Anderson,
it happened
with, you know, for Natalie to win, that Jeremy got blindsided, had nothing to do with her.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, and also I think it would have been good because it would have allowed me to find another path, mm-hmm. versus having this duo with Tommy and then him ultimately taking.
And you would have been less of a threat.
Absolutely.
It would have been like, we don't have to worry about Lauren now. No Tommy is gone.
Exactly. No one was looking at, my name was only written down one time. Mm-hmm. And this was at Final Five. Like, no one was looking at me mm-hmm. as I was a threat. At least I wasn't aware that people were looking at me that way. Mm-hmm. But I think it became very apparent that I was friends with everyone. I love them all because mm-hmm. I was building real friendships and real relationships. I was playing with my heart. I love all of them.
Edward Morris wants to know, were you surprised about Jason getting voted off instead of Tommy, Dan, or yourself when you guys were at the swap and then Elaine pulls out, hey, I got a vote cancel?
Yeah, so that's really annoying. I love you, Elaine, but I will say this. Elaine sat out of that challenge mm-hmm. and they sent her to Iowa. I sat out at the next challenge. They didn't send me to Iowa. So I just was kind of like, okay. So Elaine's got this advantage, and I knew she had one mm-hmm. because Elaine never wears a shirt. She always wears a camo bra. Mm-hmm. And we go to tribal and she has on her orange shirt. And I'm like, all right, she has something. Did I think it would be Jason? Yes, because
why?
I was told.
Oh.
I was told Elaine did tell me that she didn't feel closest to Jason. And I knew the bonds. Dan and Aaron were very close. I was close with Elizabeth and Missy and Elaine. Tommy mm-hmm. was close to me. So therefore, he was close to Missy and Elizabeth. And he was also close to Elaine. But yeah, I wasn't surprised. I was hurt that it was mm-hmm. Jason. I want to give some love to Jason because I have to thank him for opening my eyes and making me realize that I needed to kick my game into high gear. Mm-hmm. And he had a serious heart to heart with me. And he was like, you know, I know you had an idea of who you wanted to play with in this game. I know that there are certain people that you feel have your back, but they don't.
Yes.
And I want you to know, like.
When did he say this to you?
This was right before he got voted out.
Yes.
And it was a blessing because yes. I don't think.
Did he have like a premonition that he was going to be the person?
I don't think so. I just think this is what it was. They wanted to vote Missy out. And I said, no, I was like, no, we're not voting Missy out. And that's
Jason
so my guys wanted to vote out Missy.
Yeah.
And I said no because I knew I had her close. So then we switched the vote to Aaron because I was like, he's a challenge beast, whatever. Mm-hmm. We can't beat him. But that's when Jason was like, listen, you're protecting Missy, but I want you to know like her allegiance is not to you. So, and I think for me, that allowed me to sort of open my eyes and be like, wow, like, he's probably right. Missy and I didn't start this game together. She does have really strong ties with Aaron. She does have great ties with Elizabeth. So maybe I do need to take a step back of what my idea of our relationship is and really see my relationship with her for what it was. I think Missy knew about the advantage that Elaine had and she didn't tell me. So Jason telling me these things was a gift. It was a gift in its own right. And mm-hmm. I even said they didn't show it. I had a confessional after he went home and I was like, Jason's my angel. He helped me see that I need to play this game for Lauren mm-hmm. and stop playing for other people.
you seemed very upset when he was going to be the person that got voted out.
It hurt because I felt that Jason was coming to me, and especially because of our rough start. Like, Jason had it so hard from the very beginning. It like makes me emotional. It makes me sad because he...
You went through his bag.
Yeah, like I'm crying, and I went through and I cried to him and apologized. And I literally like, but that was the thing. Like, I went through his bag. I apologized to him, and we were able to reach a level of understanding where it was like, we're just out here playing Survivor, and we're trying to like achieve our dreams. And I think for him to step outside of the game and sort of give me a gift just made me feel the love for him that much more and appreciate him that much more. But unfortunately, he had the squirrely thing painted on him from the beginning. And
tough to shake that then.
Tough to shake. And yeah. They called him Fishback. Like, he, if you look at Jason at that tribal, his eyes are sunken. Right. He wasn't sleeping.
Because people were calling him Fishback.
People were calling him Fishback, and they were, and you know, and it sucks. Like, there was one night we were all sitting on the raft and we're all laughing, and he comes over and sits down and no one talks. No one says anything. And it's like, it sucks. Like, we're people, but I think we're all so desperate for someone else to be the one out that we aren't going to put our necks out for you.
Right.
Which is, that's really shitty. Like, that's, you know,
it's
like,
a mean game.
That's horrible.
It's
and
a mean game.
That makes me feel bad. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be somebody that, like, if I think about all the hoops I jumped through to get on this show, like, that sucks to have to do that to people. And I think, you know, this pack mentality sort of takes over, and it's unfortunate because we're real people. And, I think Jason needs a second chance because along with me, but Jason is, a great guy and an even better player. And I think he would have done some damage.
Is that very important for you to play again?
Yeah, I want to play again. I think I wouldn't play with the game as close to my heart this time. I think I play a little more cutthroat.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's important to me. I have something to prove.
Yeah. Why? Why do you want to play again?
I have something. I want to prove to myself that I can get to the final three, that I can do more things, that I can win more. When I won immunity, I thought it was like an out of body experience. I was like, no, I did not just do that. So I, after living 38 days and proving to myself that I could actually do it, I want to go back and prove that I can do 39 days and sit there and say, this is what I did and win.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. But again, like, as a viewer, it's like, oh, this person gets to play again. It's like, no one wants to see a returnee. I mean, Winners at War is awesome.
I think that under the right circumstances, people do want to see returnees. But I just feel like that. What do you need to prove? You did prove. I mean, if that because you couldn't make the fire, that changes anything.
Well, this is the thing. I think because Tommy was the winner, a lot of my moves were overshadowed by the edit. To give credit to Tommy. Whereas I think had it been shown a different way, it would have shown that these are because a lot of people at the end, they're like, why is everyone saying Lauren is this huge threat? And it's because that wasn't necessarily like I was pretty purple in the beginning. So I think that I just want more of what I actually did out there to be shown.
Yeah.
And just because I love the game, I want to be out
why,
there again.
That's the right reason to want to, because you have no guarantee about what they are, what they're going to show. I mean, I watch these commercials for the Winners at War, and I was thinking about this as I was watching commercials yesterday. It's like, who do they show on the commercials? It's like the people that you already know. It's not like, you know, if I'm somebody who didn't get a lot of airtime the first time I played, like, oh, I'm gonna come back
and get
and
more,
then I'm like,
right,
and I'm still not even in the commercial.
yeah right? No, I hear you and that's not like that's not my goal. Like, I more airtime, schmear time. I think what I want is to be the person that I have looked up to, like Sandra and Rob. Like, you saw me freak out when I saw Sandra. That was genuine. Yes. That was, oh my God, this lady is in front of me. I cannot believe it. And
people said that it seemed like you were excited to see Sandra, not as excited to see Boston Rob.
I was excited to see Boston Rob, but like,
I think really excited to see Sandra.
Yeah. And she's a woman, two-time winner. I mean, Boston Rob too. Meeting both of them was such a whirlwind, but I think, like, looking at Sandra, again, like you asked me who did I look up to? It was her. So I see her and I'm like, I can't believe I'm sitting here with this person and she's giving me advice. Rob, same thing. You know, I'm sure we'll get to this, but at the finale, at the end, when I was sitting backstage, Rob told me, he's like, you know, Lauren, it took me 4 tries. I lived 10 years with people telling me, you're a loser. You didn't win. You're not. Hey. Yeah, exactly. Hey, Lauren, this is, you know? Yeah. So I want to be the people that
now,
I look
in,
up to.
In fairness, the person that was calling him a loser was probably his wife.
Sure. Yeah. It's all family. Sure.
Loser.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't win. Yeah. But no, but I think like it was such a little nugget of hope for him to say that to me, because it's like, look at where you are. And he's like, listen, it took me a lot of tries, but I got there and I'm willing to do that. And I love the game from start to finish, from finale week to Jeff to Ponderosa to I loved everything. It was so cool to do.
Yeah.
So cool.
You talked about going to meet Rob and Sandra. That was one of the most fun moments from the season, was when you went there and then you had to go and try to convince everybody to sit out of the challenge. Can you tell us a little bit about what that day was like, going to go see Rob and Sandra?
Yeah. So a lot of people weren't aware that Rob and Sandra were there, and Elaine had gone and come back and told us that Rob and Sandra were there. People had been making up lies that there were urns and whatever else. Mm-hmm. So once I found out that they were there, I flipped out and I was like, okay, next time it's a unanimous decision, we all have to say that I get to go. Mm-hmm. So Elaine was like, all right. And all the girls were like, okay, down. Boat comes, pick out of a bag, unanimous decision. Elaine's like, I vote Lauren to go. And then Elizabeth is like, Lauren. And Dan was pissed. He was so mad. But whatever. I just went up. I was smiling. I went up, grabbed my bag, went, sat on the boat. I was on the boat for like 3 freaking hours. I puked, waiting. I don't know. They were like getting things together. And then they're like, okay, it's go time. So you're walking on the beach and you just see these two heads. And I had known, like, people had alluded, like when Kelly came back, she was like, yeah, there's two statues. It's a man and a woman. Like, they look islandy, like Fijian, but we didn't know that it was Rob and Sandra. So I look and I like, first I see Rob, which I actually didn't think it looked like Rob that much.
Yeah.
But Sandra's was like spot on. And then they walk out and I just drop all my stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, I was shaking, crying, hug them. Go in, we sit down. I'm so nervous because I'm meeting people that I looked up to. I'm like hyperventilating, and Sandra even looked, and she like puts her hand on my chest. She's like, calm down, it's okay. And I got this like other part of Sandra that we didn't see, which was like this like motherly, like loving, and I was like, oh my God, I love this woman even more. So she's like, just calm down, it's okay. So then we're sitting there going over it, and Rob is like, okay, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say, if you want to play this game, you can have one horse in the race. And I hesitated because I'm like, okay, they're not going to have me come to IOI and just give me something. Like, I'm going to have to work for it. So so I decide I'm going to do it. And then Rob was like, okay, I'm going to give you two people. And I was like, okay, great. And then they're like, okay, we're going to rehearse what you're going to say when you go back.
Yeah.
So I'm like, awesome, this is great. I'm going to be able to do it. I couldn't do it. So I'm sitting there reciting this, and Rob's like, all right, no, you can't do that because you keep stopping at the same part and they're going to know you're lying. So I'm like, shit, like, what am I going to do? So then I leave back on the boat, and the whole time in the boat, I'm reciting what I'm going to say. And I'm like, I'm just going to go back. I'm going to be happy, fun Lauren. I'm not going to act nervous. I'm just going to do it. I was so nervous when I got to that beach. I was so worried. So then,
remind us again, what was the lie that you were trying to?
So the lie that I had to tell, what was the lie that I had to tell?
I don't know. I know you got an idol if the people you picked won immunity. But
yes. So I got an idol if the people I picked won immunity. But in order to ensure that those people that I picked won, I could convince tons of people to sit out so that I had higher chances of them winning.
Yes.
So
what was the lie? What were you lying about? It was almost like a lie of omission. You just weren't telling them they were getting an idol.
I was just kind of bribing people with bacon and breakfast, you know? And that's the thing, like that. And then it's funny because Sandra and Rob are both like, see, and this is the thing I think about IOI too. I think the way that they're testing you too is Sandra and Rob have different styles. So they're bouncing ideas off of each other as well. And you're sitting there in the middle of them. And I think a part of the test as well is, who do I go with? So my job was to take a little bit of both. Let me wake up and start talking about bacon and eggs, like Rob said. Let me, I don't know. It was just like, it was my favorite moment because it reminded me again of old school Survivor. We had so much fun doing it.
Yeah.
Just cracking up, laughing. No one had any idea. And it was also beyond me because people had been to IOI before and no one approached me being like, so what'd you really get? No,
Yeah.
Like, no, even Elaine, who I was thick as thieves with, didn't come up to me and say, hey, what did you get? Like, yeah. No one did. So I was just like, so I also got the, my lie was, I said, I got to decide if it's eat or play.
Okay.
So I made it seem like I helped them.
Yes.
I'm giving you guys brunch and mimosas. And yeah. We all know how Karishma feels about a mimosa. So I thought I was going to have her for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so literally, and I was like, okay, the one person, I only trust one person. I'm going to tell Tommy, going to get him on mm-hmm. board so he can sort of bounce that idea off of everyone. Truthfully, I think Janet probably should have played. And she was super on the fence. So we had to work on her. Nora is great in the way of like, if you tell her something, she just runs with it. Right. So like, I was like, Nora, like it's breakfast, it's bacon, it's all carbs. Like, you're not going to like it. And she's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to play. So I was like, okay, awesome. Mm-hmm. Play. And then Elizabeth, Missy and Aaron had just gone home. So I knew she was going to play. And then Karishma was in trouble. So she played. And dropped pretty immediately, yeah. Which was sad because she could have just eaten, you know, that sucked because she had an idol. So it was like, just eat. But I think then she was like, if I can save myself twice, let me do this.
Right.
So yeah.
Feeling like, okay, well, I've got a 1 in 3 chance.
Right.
If, you know,
and if she sits out, then we're all going to be looking at her like, okay, why is this girl sitting out?
Right.
Okay. Because she has something, which I want to say this because everyone gives me flack for it. I knew Karishma had an idol. I will say that. Because she disappeared for 2 hours. She never left camp. So when she did leave camp and was gone for 2 hours and then walks towards the well like she's sick, I'm like, oh, hell no. Something's going on. And I told them, I was like, she has something. Tommy, this was his thing. No shot. I'm like, she has an idol. They didn't believe me.
Weren't you the person that said, do you want us to get the doctor?
Yes.
Yeah.
Listen, because we like... Yes, I was concerned. I thought maybe something, because Karishma would tell us like before challenges, she'd be like, I passed out. Like, I'm like, this girl is not okay. Like, does she need help? Luckily, producers, they're all listening. So whatever, if shit was really hitting the fan, they would have helped her. But I was genuinely concerned about her, but I knew she found something because she went for 2 hours and she had 2 coconuts. Girl, come on. Like, what were you doing out there? So I knew she had something.
Yeah, I think it was Bryce that had the tweet at the time that was about how Karishma puts a knife through her finger. Nobody wants to see how she's doing. But now
all of a sudden, I mean,
get the doctor.
It's funny
that wasn't you.
I wasn't there for that. But I did hear that people did approach her and ask her. Listen, this is the thing. I will say this.
Yeah.
I sliced my hand open like with bamboo completely. Like you could see the insides and production made everyone get away from me. They were like, back up. Cause they didn't want me bleeding. Like I was bleeding.
Yeah.
So I think with Karishma, it was a similar situation. It was like, she cut her hand back up. But I do think people checked on her, at least from what I know or what I've heard of people.
Okay.
So yeah, everyone's not as bad as it seemed. Okay.
I have no doubt.
Like I think, come on, like we're still human. People are not just going to let someone sit there crying on the ground and like, come on.
Hmm. Dan Sinensky has another question. You had great relationships with people. How many people considered you their number one? Who were the people who were Tommy's people?
Huh? That's the thing. I had one number one, Tommy. That was my number one. I didn't tell people that I was going to take them to the end.
But do you feel like that you could look at the other people and say like, okay, well,
I felt that I would have votes from? I think for sure, Elizabeth, I think Missy, Janet, Tommy, if he were there, Elaine, Kelly, Jamal.
Yeah.
Jack, I'm a little on the fence. It would depend on who's sitting there. Jack and I are really close, but I felt like I had great relationships with them where I don't think anyone felt like I did anything malicious to them, to send them home because I wasn't playing a malicious game. I was playing more so like, okay, who is a threat? Who can't I beat? Mm-hmm. And for me from the beginning, Molly, she was like, I saw her and I was like, listen. This girl's, she's on it. And she's a survivor.
Was that your move, the Molly vote out?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say yes. However, no, because I think it can sound very like cocky when you're like, oh, that's my move. And I did this and that.
Well, it was kind of confusing in the episode that we don't know who, you know, you see Jason and Nora talking about it and then you're talking about
the original idea originated from Kelly and I talking about it. And Kelly and I were, again, thick as thieves in the beginning. And we went to Janet. which you saw. And it was just like, she's, because initially I was close to Molly and Kelly. And then after that, she became very tight with Jack and Jamal and really didn't talk to me at all. So I'm like, oh, something's in the air. Something's wrong. Like, am I potentially going to get blindsided or whatever? I never felt comfortable one day in that game. No matter if I felt I had the pulse on the game, I never allowed myself to feel like I was never not going home. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think collectively, the Molly idea sparked from me and Kelly. And then we all sort of made it happen. And then I knew I could go to Jason and be like, and I think that further solidified mine and Jason's bond, where I was like, listen, now Molly's trying to pull you in. She didn't want anything to do with you on day one. Mm-hmm. I love you, Molly. I love her to death. I will say this about Molly. Molly is a class freaking act. Like, from being voted out from our tribe, I consider her a great friend. She came out for my birthday. Like, we're super close. I think she's great. And I feel like had we had different circumstances, we could have played the game together. And had we known each other the way we know each other now, it would have been different. But yeah, I saw her as a threat. She was a Survivor fan. She loved the game. I knew she kicked butt at challenges. So it was just like she had to go.
You talked about earlier that Jamal was on the outs early on after that Molly vote.
Yes.
And he could have been somebody who would have been one of the next targets. How does Jamal end up being on the outs? He seems like the greatest guy ever.
So, okay. Jamal is the greatest guy ever.
Yes.
He's awesome. He's very well-spoken, very level-headed. Of course, I connected with him because he was a black brother and I saw him. And it was so funny because like the first day, everyone kept calling him Jerome. I know. And so I was like, if one more person calls you Jerome and he just looks at me with these eyes, and we laughed and joked about it. But with Jamal, I will say this, communication was very difficult for him. And I don't know if that's because we just weren't vibrating on the same wavelength or whatever, but he had a hard time communicating things to certain people.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I wasn't the only one that felt this. So for Jamal, I think he got dealt a bad hand as well, touching the note, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think it sucks because when Jack went home, then it was like, okay, Jamal's always on the outs. And that's... Yeah.
Yeah. When you say he had a hard time communicating anything, that seems like that doesn't make sense
opposite.
To me, because Jamal is, you know, seems so great at communicating.
I will say, you know, it's hard, Rob, because like we love each other now, right? Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to say anything against anyone. What I will say is I felt Jamal's approach was off.
Yeah,
that's what I'll say. And I'll say like I felt that I was vibing more with other people where I felt like I had more of a voice. Whereas I think Jamal had an idea in his head and it would be like, OK, this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. For example, Jamal, don't get mad at me for telling this story. I love you. One day he comes to me and he was like, you know, we're going to vote someone out. I forget who it was. And then we had already had in our heads who was going home. So I'm just sitting there nodding my head, listening. And he's like, but you know, like, if you don't tell me like what you're going to do either way, these kind of things, like we need to make a decision on. So then we're going to bring Nora in. So then I was like, okay, so because I'm not giving you an answer right now, then you're going to bring Nora in? Like, no. Okay. I don't want to work with you.
Yeah.
So I think, but again, I think that goes to a level of misunderstanding, because I think in Jamal's head, it was like, listen, I'm just trying to talk strategy with you and I'm trying to let you know what my plans are. And I want to bring you in on my plans. Whereas I took it differently. I wish I hadn't, because I really do like Jamal. And I think after talking to him after the game, he had told me, he's like, you know, when Jack went home, I was done with Kelly. So it's like, in hindsight, I wish I had known that, because then I would have totally brought him in and been like, listen, this is actually what we're doing and this is why. So yeah, I think that it sucks, because Jamal's a great guy and he is well-spoken. So
yeah.
it is a little funny if you think about it.
Yeah. And look, it sounds like he is sort of like, you know, doesn't mince words either in terms of, you know, I think that some people are more of like a, you know, a chameleon that really like change up their approach based on each person.
That's how Tommy
that
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how Tommy is. He was able
I feel like maybe Jamal is more like authentically Jamal with every single person.
Exactly. Which is great, because it's genuine and that's who I am. I'm the same way. Crying, laughing, Lauren. That is me. That's what you're going to get 100% of the
time.
I
think that you do change up your approach with, because I think that that's sort of, I think that that's what marks like a really good you know, like a next level, like social player in the game, that you can be the little sister to somebody, but you're the, you know, the best friend to another person.
I think I can bond with different people based on our likes and dislikes and whatever. And that's who I am in real life. I have friends of all different kinds, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
What about saw so much about, you know, Janet and Tommy, but what was your relationship like with Janet?
I adored Janet. I adore her now. I love her to death. Janet was really a mother figure for a lot of us out there. She, you know, one night it was raining, rats were crawling on us, and she just held me and she was like, I love you, Lauren, like, you're going to be fine. And she really gave me a sense of home and comfort out there. You know, I always felt like I nicknamed her Mama J. We all call her Mama J. And I felt like I always owed her an explanation. Like, I felt like I always needed to tell Janet. And I told her the first day I met her, I said, listen, I want you to know, I know that survivor history says that older women get voted off first, but I want you to know we're changing that. That's not happening. And she was like, oh my God, like, that's music to my ears. Because I didn't want to play this game of where, like, it was predictable. And that's what I think a lot happened. You saw it happen with Reem. Like, meanwhile, Reem is just trying to help everyone get their clothes from getting wet. Yeah. And everyone's like, why are you touching my stuff? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's sad, because it's like, it's the mother in them trying to help them. Janet was very good in the way of leveling down to us. Like, I felt like I wasn't being talked to by an elder person. I felt like Janet was on our level. Yeah. She was giving me advice and has lived a longer life than I have. So I respected Janet through and through. And I loved her. And I mean, at the merge, again, I felt horrible about how everything went down with Janet, because Janet is somebody that was also playing with integrity and also trusted Tommy to a T. And, you know, to find out that certain things were being told to you. And I do want to say this, at that merge tribal, or after the merge tribal, I think it was Jamal's vote out, when Janet said, Janet was a little confused about how things went down. So I had caught wind somehow that Janet told someone that I went to her, saying things about Dan, which never happened. She confused me with Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. So me talking to Janet at tribal was about that, was about me saying, Janet, I never said that to you. And she was like, oh, it was Elizabeth. It wasn't you. And so I think, and it was so sad, because then she was like, I think maybe I should just go home. And as courageous and strong as Janet is, for her to say that, that's when I was like, a light bulb went off in my head. Like, oh my God. Cause the perception was Janet was lying. Mm-hmm. And a light bulb, I was like, oh my God, she's not lying. Things were said to her that she believes, and she's doing this for the right reasons. And I felt bad. And then she was like, I'm sleeping in a hole. And Nora like laughed. And I got so mad at Nora. I was like, Nora, that's not funny. And Jeff was even like, we all know Nora laughs when she's nervous. And I'm like, I know, but that's not funny. Like, Janet is saying she's sleeping in a hole because she's trying to do the right thing. And I don't think that that's okay. Like, it's not. So from then on, for me, it was like, I want Janet. I always communicated to her, you're fine. You're okay. This is what's happening. Even when Aaron went home, he told her something like, you know, Janet, you've played a great game. You've had a good run. Go enjoy some pizza and beer tonight at Ponderosa. And when she told me that, I was like, okay, well, we'll see how that plays out tonight. I was like, but keep playing up like you're going home, Janet. Like, keep playing up that sad tale of like, I'm going home. But I love Janet and I look up to her. I admire her. She's a great woman. She's very strong. And she played the hell out of that game. I think strategy wise, Janet was involved in a lot, but I don't know that she spearheaded anything. But Janet was always a part of our like core. Like I did consider Janet a part of my core alliance for a lot of the game.
You know, in those back-to-back votes where at 5 and then at 4, like Tommy like did have to dismantle this thing where you got to see firsthand that like we did any part of it, like if you pause, like, can't believe Tommy's you know, selling out mommy like this.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely did. It definitely, I mean, even at Elaine's vote out, it made me, I was like, you know, and I said to Janet, these, the things that Elaine is saying about being a social threat and being likable, all three of us have that. All three of us have that, where we love everyone and everyone loves us back. And I think that we were so blinded by this number, because this is how Janet and I are. I felt confident sitting next to any of the people that were left. Tommy did not.
Right.
So he had to get us out. So for Janet and I, we thought we were okay because we could sit and say to our plead our case to the jury. The others could not. So my mistake and Janet's mistake, sorry, I just hit the mic because I'm getting excited, is that we didn't realize that we were so comfortable that we could.
Right.
You know,
you're like, we got this. Yeah. I just need to get to the end.
Yeah, I just need to get to the end. And at that point, Tommy was always like, I'm going to take you, blah, blah, blah. Like, and then Nora was telling me I was her number one. So I was like, oh, I'm sitting pretty right now. Yeah. I got him saying this, her saying that. Dean's whatever. I can sit next to Dean all day long. And that's what it was. But I think for Janet and I, we put so much faith in our genuine relationship with mm-hmm. Tommy that we didn't see that he was doing that. And when he, you know, when he was crusading against Janet, for me at that moment, it was like, okay, well, at least it's not me,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's kind of where I was. It was like, okay, at least it's not me.
Yeah. That's interesting. Just to be, would you rather be the person who is going to win no matter what, if they get to the end, of the person who is like, okay, well, I'm proactively, you know, targeting the people that I know are standing in my way so I can get to the end with the couple of people that I know I've got a great shot against.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say. In hindsight's 2020. I mean, I think about that vote out and it's like, I don't know what I could have done to save Janet because mm-hmm. no matter what, they were all afraid of making yeah. fire against her.
Because you also, you know, seemed like you caught wind of, even like before Nora got in there, it seemed like there was another version of the final three. That was the guy, that was the guys that you were not a part of.
Oh
also.
Yeah. That was Dan, Dean and Tommy. Yeah. And I, you know, if I hadn't have been freaking out about making my fire and having a complete meltdown, I could have said to Nora, like, listen, like we were going to have three white males in the final three. We have two. We've always had two males. History shown two males, one woman. The one woman mm-hmm. gets no votes. How can we change this? How can we change this narrative? But I think when you're so close to the end, mm-hmm. you're so desperate. You can see it right there. It's almost like, okay, like, do I just let it be Janet? Mm-hmm. I just need to let that ride. I just need to let it go. And it was hard to see Janet go. It was hard to see Janet and Elaine go,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
It sucked.
I do think that so much of like the strategy in the like the last few seasons has really been about like, you know, I got to just keep these bigger targets in front of me. And then because whoever is the biggest target ends up going home. Like, I do think that Tommy really did get that in terms of his game of like, you know, having the, you know, the person in front of you always to take that shot because people are always going to go for the biggest threats. And I just feel like that's where Survivor is right now. But I feel like in another season, like you wouldn't necessarily be the biggest threat.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think, and you know, it was crazy that that's how it all panned out. You know, I mean, but we did target the big threats mm-hmm. in the big physical threats, at least in the beginning of the merge. Like it was like, they got to go. I can't beat them. They have to go. So then we were left with kind of,
you ran out of threats.
Yeah. And then Tommy was not proving to be a threat because mm-hmm. he wasn't winning anything. He was I love you, Tommy, but he was winning rewards. He didn't go to IOI. It wasn't, you know, like it was like whatever. And I think that, he says he sandbag challenges and we all joke mm-hmm. and make fun of him for it. But, you know, I just think that people weren't looking at Tommy as a threat, which is beyond me because he's muscles and, mm-hmm. you know, is athletic and can beat us and did in rewards. So, he did a great job of pulling the wool over my eyes.
Okay. I have more questions for you. I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are friends over at Joybird who are creating quality handcrafted furniture. Whatever your style is, more mid-century, modern, boho. You're not sure. What's your style, Lauren?
I would say boho chic.
Yes. Joybird's Instagram is going to give you a daily dose of what's trending in the homes of their customers. Of course, design is very important. You were downstairs. You could tell how important design is, interior decorating is to me and my family, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's all over the walls.
That's how we showcase our own personal style at our homes. Lots of pictures of the kids in case anybody ever walked in and didn't know who lived here. A million Legos on the floor also. This is essential to our design. Joybird is going to bring your personal one-of-a-kind style that should match your finisher. If you're more of a natural beige or a bubblegum pink person, that's built by Joybird, created by you. If you need a sofa in a golden hue or a love seat in the hottest red, an inviting baby blue or even plush green velvet, Joybird has got your back. They've got a free personal design consultant ready to go to help you go from inspiration to creation. And each Joybird produced piece is made with the ultimate care and precision, real wood without all those harmful chemicals, and they use responsibly sourced materials. All Joybird handcrafted pieces come with a limited lifetime warranty. They've got a 365-day home trial. Skip the furniture store and bring the showroom home. Sit on it, sleep on it, break it in. If you don't love your Joybird, return it. We have a Elliott chair from Joybird that Nicole keeps it in the bedroom away from where my kids can jump on it and ruin it. That Joybird says that it's indestructible, but I don't want to take any chances. That's keep that far away from where my kids are going to get crumbs on it. Create furniture that matches your own fearless style at joybird.com/Rob. See how Joybird can help make your dream space a reality today at joybird.com/Rob. Go to joybird.com/Rob and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the promo code Rob. Can you talk about Barbie a little bit? I said my kids get Legos everywhere.
Let's talk about Barbie.
What's with you and Barbie? You're like a Barbie nut?
I'm obsessed with Barbies. I played with Barbies till I was 12.
Yes.
And I definitely believed in Santa
I was like 24.
Yeah, I love, I do have a couple collectibles. Yes. Yeah, I love Barbie. I'm a Barbie girl. It's like a nickname that my friends call me and my family. I shouldn't say Barbie can be all things. She can be outdoorsy. She can be a pilot. She can be whatever.
What's your favorite Barbie? What's the best Barbie?
So when I was little, they had this Barbie. I think it was called hip something Barbie. And she had these like extensions that you could like clip in your hair, and I could clip them in my hair to match her. And I loved it. I loved it to death. And then like she had jeans that you could draw on. So then I got jeans that I thought I could draw on with a permanent marker. And I did.
Like, what would you draw on them?
Hearts, like my friend's initials, fire, Stussy S's. Do you know what that is? It's like the
pointy.
Yeah, it's like an S. Yes. And then I would like put like halos on them and write like XOXO. I was such that girl, like all day long, girly girl, inside and out. So I had a big Barbie themed birthday party and it was awesome.
Yes. What could you talk about that? Are you talking about the 30th birthday Barbie Carnival?
So initially on the show, which I love that they aired that segment the week of my party. So, at that time it was going to be a Barbie Carnival, but then I was like, no, let's make it Barbie Goes Survivor. So I actually got mini Survivor games from Etsy. This guy sent me a ton of them for free. They're awesome. And they're like replicas of games that we played, like they have like the puzzle. I mean, we didn't play them, but like past survivors have played them. They had puzzles, word puzzles, a sliding puzzle, all these things. And then I had like a tiki bar and like a big jungle bounce house. We played tug of war. We had potato sack races. I had an In-N-Out truck. I worked my ass off for this party, by the way, because people are like, oh, she didn't need the million. Look at this party she's having. It's like, no, I worked my butt off for that party. Don't play me. I had three jobs. Yes. Just so you guys know. And I have no problems working for
what
I have.
This was people on Instagram or
this Reddit
comment?
On Reddit. Uh-oh. They're like, oh, she didn't need the million. Like, listen, I need the million. And it's so funny because like I said that to my mother-in-law. I was like, you know, like I'm broke. Like, I don't have money. This freelance life is not, you know, and nannying, sure, but I'm not doing that anymore. Yeah. So it's like, I bust my ass and I will work hard. So yeah, people can be very harsh. But anyway, back to the party.
Yeah.
It was great. So much fun.
Don't let the comments ruin the party.
Well, no, exactly. Well, and Jeff even said to me, he's like, Lauren, you specifically, like, don't look at that shit. Like, don't look at it.
Oh, he doesn't.
It's hard not to, you know, you want, because you want people to like you and respect you and whatever. And I think what happened with our season, unfortunately, is a lot of people's backstories weren't shown. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so whatever, back to the party. We had a great time. Tommy, Jason, Molly, Chelsea, and War Dog made a surprise appearance, which was awesome. Mm-hmm.
The party, it was here?
It was here. Yeah. It was actually at my nanny boss's house. They let me do it there. Yes. They gifted me this like great balloon thing. My mom is a doula. She's a baby nurse for the lady who, I don't know if I'm supposed to say it, but whatever. We got a discount on the In-N-Out truck.
Yeah.
And so it was all done very frugally.
Yes.
It was a great time.
You don't have to defend yourself here.
I have to. Because I feel like this is the thing, Rob. People don't know me. Yeah. And I think what a lot of people saw, was someone called Tommy and I entitled. Mm-hmm. And I've never been called that in my life. So I was just like, whoa, like that's how people are perceiving
you,
me. But
you played in a very charged season for, you know, everything that went on with Dan and Kelly.
Sure.
And so, you know, people are very excited about things and that's going to manifest in a lot of different ways.
That's not to blame the viewer either, because they are viewers watching a show and watching an edit. And so, but whatever. My party was awesome. I had the time of my life. I'm a big kid at heart, so it makes sense. That's why I had a big kid party, and it was great.
But here's the nice thing about podcasts, and so the real haters aren't listening for you to you talk for an hour and a half, 2 hours. They don't have that kind of time.
Sure.
So that this is everybody that's listening, especially now at this point, that these are, you know, the all the people that are actually want to hear what you have to say.
Oh well, thank you. I appreciate
that's the nice
that.
Thing about the podcast.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, when I really have something to say, that's what's great about being able to come on here and not have to say it on social media.
Sure. Absolutely. Exactly. It's kind of like a voice message in the form of a podcast.
Yes. That's why I love it so much.
It's great.
That's why it's so wonderful. Okay. So how many Barbies do you own?
Now?
Yeah.
Oh, not many.
Not many.
No, probably like 5. But when I was little, like hundreds.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have like 6 sisters. So, I mean, that.
You have 6 sisters?
Yes. See? No one knows anything about me.
You come from a very big family?
A big family. Blended family. So some are steps, some are half. But yeah, my real dad would take me to Toys R Us and let me pick whatever Barbie I wanted. Mm-hmm. We'd race hula hoops up and down the aisles. I've just always been a Barbie girl in a Barbie world. So that's what we did.
No Toys R Us anymore.
Seriously, I know. Isn't that sad?
My kids are very sad about
it. What is
they keep telling me, like, Dad, we heard Toys R Us is going to come back. I'm like, I don't know. I drove past there the other day and they turned into an Amazon grocery store.
Yeah. So where do you go to buy toys? Target?
They just want to go to Target.
So sad, because it was such an experience back in the day going to Toys R Us, getting your toys. So
they want to look at Amazon on the phone.
Of course they do. It's 2020.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no place to go for specifically for toys. What are you going to do?
That's horrible.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of Kens? Are you?
We had like 2 Kens.
Only 2.
So there wasn't enough to spread around for the Barbie ladies. But yeah, I only had like 2 Kens. Not a lot. But I had like.
That's all you need.
I had. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're good to go.
It's like The Bachelor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I had like a tour bus and like a Barbie airplane and a Barbie dream house with an elevator that was sick. And like you'd press a button, it'd go up and down. I had a Barbie Jeep, you know, like one of those Barbie. I actually, when I was 10, got a Barbie bike that looked like a motorcycle. Like it had a kit on it and it had this big Barbie thing. So I've just always loved Barbie.
Is Barbie still popular?
No,
yeah.
That's the thing. I actually, for my party, I tried to find a Barbie jumper and I was like, oh, that's going to be easy.
Yeah.
Minnie Mouse, Doc McStuffins and Paw Patrol. You know this life. Come on,
I know. Well, especially I know the toys, especially for the little boys. But, but I don't know what, you know, little girls, if like Barbie is sort of like, is Barbie a bad role model?
I just think Barbie is just on the outs because now kids have. And this is so sad, tablets. And like, you know, like they have things that they can distract them with that aren't right in front of them. We need to bring Barbie back.
Yeah. I know. Well, that's a whole different podcast that I'm not qualified to host of what, you know, what happened? They got a body image. Was that what it is? Barbie too skinny?
Yes.
Yes.
However, they do have, we're very new age with these Barbies. Now they have Barbies that have disabilities and Barbies that are like of different ethnicities and have different hair types and all. So it's all inclusive. They're trying to include everyone. I think that's great.
I'm no toy designer. I think they need to make gross Barbies. I think that
gross
seems,
Barbies.
Yes.
Like, that are like sloppy and like,
oh, this one smells. That I'm telling you that based on the toys that I see that kids like. That's what the more the
you know what? It's so funny you say that because there's like this toilet game that kids play and like kids love gross stuff.
That's what they like.
That's very true.
Okay.
That's true.
If anybody at Mattel is listening, then they could have that for free.
Gross Barbies.
Okay. This is a question from Shelly who wants to ask you about first, Lauren, I was pulling for you for the win. Congrats on the great game. Random question, but personally relevant. As someone who was or is a professional nanny, what are the things that parents don't think to ask a prospective nanny that are really important from the perspective of choosing a caregiver? In other words, is there anything that you can't believe parents don't ask about when interviewing a prospective nanny? Thank you so much.
That's a very interesting question. I think that us as nannies, I think we take on everyone else's stuff, right? So we go into the interview and we're like, we're here for you, whatever you need us to do. A lot of the times that isn't reciprocated. So it's not like, what do you need for your job?
Okay.
So, and because these lines are blurred, you're in their home. It's not like, okay, there's a year and you get a raise. There's not these like things set in stone.
Interesting.
So I think it's important, Rob, if you're looking for a nanny, ask her these questions, okay?
What is there a difference between a babysitter and a nanny?
There is. Yeah. So a babysitter, which I did when I was like 13. I mean, I was a built-in babysitter. I had six siblings. So, but a babysitter is somebody that just comes whenever. A nanny is every day someone that travels with you. Like I would go on tour with the Foo Fighters, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And you are there, like you're aware of the kids' health. You're aware of everything.
Yeah.
So I think what I looked for was somebody who also had my best interest at heart. So, for example, this job that I had working for the Foo Fighters, his wife was a journalist for E! Canada. And she said to me one day, she's like, you know, Lauren, you're a great nanny. You're great with kids. We love you to death. But please don't do this for the rest of your life. Like, that's not what you're supposed to do. And that is when I was like, wow, like, well, I do want to stay here forever because she actually respects my dreams and the things that I want to do. And I think, too, it's important for parents to understand that we're people too, and that we also have expectations. So I think one of the biggest thing is play dates, which is one of the main things that gets under nanny's skin.
Oh,
so
yeah,
play dates are a good 4 hours. Let's go get frozen yogurt. Let's hang out. That's a play date. If I am watching your child every Friday and picking them up after school, and that's considered nannying. So then at that point, I think a discussion needs to be had about payment, because it's like I'm now providing childcare for this child who is extra to the child that I normally watch. Also, it's difficult to discipline other people's kids.
Okay, so hold on. So let me get this straight. So you're nannying for one kid, and then their friend is coming home with them. So you're picking up both kids at the school, and then
multiple friends.
Yeah, multiple friends.
So this past job, I luckily didn't have that problem, and if I ever did, it was like, listen, this is getting too much. But it becomes, it's like, okay, because I know what expectation my boss has of me. The little kid that I watch knows what I expect of them. Yeah. They listen. But if some little kid comes over and they're jumping in the pool and doing whatever, how do you discipline someone else's kid? You can't, you know, and you don't want to be like, oh, your kid's doing that. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to do that. So it creates this awkwardness for us where it's like, how do we proceed? But I want to tell, because a lot of nannies ask me this, and I want to tell them, like, they are amazing. Know your worth. You kick ass and you're in someone else's life, but you have a life too. And it's important to take care of yourself. So we forget that.
That you were on TV and your occupation was a nanny. Have you had other nannies reaching out to you? Are you like a celebrity nanny?
Beverly Hills nannies. No, I have had nannies reach out to me being like, oh, I'm a nanny. That's cool. You're a nanny.
Maybe
whatever.
You need to start a nanny union.
Maybe I should. I mean, my mom's a doula. Maybe we could do something together. But no, they do have nanny agencies, which is how I got my job. And so you have to be first aid certified, CPR certified. There's a lot to
agency.
Go. Yeah, it's not you. There's a lot that goes into it. I think people look at it as you're a babysitter. And I think doing it for so long, you're like, okay, I'm just a babysitter. Like, you want to do something else. Mm-hmm. But there is so much more than that. And the bonds that you build and the families that you meet, a family that I nannied for, their kids were in my wedding. This family that I have, you know, they let me have their my birthday at their house, and I'm really close with them. Mm-hmm. Just saw them at Christmas. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a great job, great to do while you're going through school. But I think there's also a healthy time to make an exit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I love it. It's a great job. It's
like
very
Meghan
flexible.
And Harry.
Exactly. Yes.
Yes.
Megxit.
Yes. Yes.
That's exactly right.
So season 40 is coming up.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a person that you're rooting for? Are you all in on Rob and Sandra because they're like your mentors?
I am all in on Sandra for sure. Mm-hmm. I want to see Rob do well, of course. But yeah, I would love...
Did you get to meet Amber at the finale?
I very briefly, because she's got her four beautiful daughters that she's got to run after. So that was great. Another great moment to meet her.
They seem like they're very good.
Well behaved.
They're very well behaved.
They're so, and they're so beautiful. Like,
I noticed
gorgeous.
That too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think that even, I think Rob's oldest, I think might be a little older than my youngest. But if I brought my two boys to the Survivor finale, that there's no way that every single person wouldn't have known their name of that, like Dominic, Anthony, stop, sit there, put that down, stop, guys.
Yes. That's boys sometimes, though. You know,
yeah.
No, you gotta let them do it sometimes.
They didn't have a peep.
No, they didn't.
They seemed like they walk in like a single file line.
Yes.
I ran into Amber. She was taking them to the bathroom. Everybody was in like in perfect.
They look beautiful. They have matching little sweaters on. They're so damn cute. So cute. But yeah, rooting for Sandra. Of course, Rob. Would love to see Kim pull out another win. Mm-hmm. Would love to see Michelle pull out a win.
Yes.
Someone was calling her Windshell, which I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And then
why did they call that? Because she
Windshell. Because they want her to win. Yeah. I would love to see that. And then I met Adam at the finale. I would love to see him because Adam. Mm-hmm. When I look at someone like Adam, like I'm a fan like Adam. I mean, he's probably more of a fan than I am. But when I look at
he's a super duper fan,
and knowing what he experienced out there, like you can't help but root for someone like that. Jeremy, I would love to see that. Wendell, but how do you? These people that you look up to, like, how do you not want them to, like, all of them I could see. Sure, it would be freaking amazing. I would love to see a woman win. However, I want the best player to win, the person that played the best game. So
when you guys were out there, you did not get to see the end of the Edge of Extinction.
No.
And it was that at all a fact? You talked about how, you know, it would have been great to be able to say like, hey, you know, this many seasons, you know, a woman hasn't won since Sarah. But you don't know that from the Edge of Extinction.
No, I think we were on episode like 3 or 4
by
the time we left. And it was like, I think Devin's went home.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, okay, wah, like what's going on?
Yeah.
I would have loved if we had an Edge on our season. Can I go to Edge after I don't make fire? Like,
well, there was a question I think that somebody had written in the Facebook group about like, how does it feel to know that you guys almost did have the Edge of Extinction? I think that's something that Jeff has talked about in recent interviews. But so as a player, you say, okay, great.
As a player, great. As a viewer, it's like, all right, they already got voted out. Like, just let them go. And then especially with the way that EOE played out this time, I think even the players are like, all right, they had this thing and then Chris came back and won. And then there's this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for winners, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Yes. Why? Because a lot of people don't like the idea. Don't want it. I mean, that if I had to pick, I'd say don't have it, but I'm with you in terms of if you're ever going to have it, I don't mind it here.
Yeah, I mean, because it's our winners. Like, I want to, I mean, if Sandra gets voted out, I want to see how she does on Edge. I want to see her come back and have that victorious win where I'm shouting at the TV, like, you did it.
And it's okay if you don't like it.
Yeah.
That's okay. Also, I wouldn't even say I like it. I can live with it.
No, I think, I mean, yeah, we have no choice but to, right? Mm-hmm. I think it'll be cool. I think it'll be a cool thing to see. And then you've got these fire tokens and you can buy this and do that.
Yeah, the fire tokens, I feel like if I could get rid of one, the fire tokens are the edge. The fire tokens, I don't know what we're doing with the fire tokens.
Yeah, that's the thing. We don't know yet. I heard you can buy things with them. Like,
yeah,
like food and shelter.
Well, I thought
tools.
A cool idea would be like whoever has the most fire tokens gets back. There's no competition to get back in the edge of it. So the competition is that whoever has the most fire tokens at the end.
I just wonder how they're going to be getting these tokens.
I don't know. I don't understand it. Yeah. I don't understand
it. It's interesting. It'll be cool to see how it plays out. I'm stoked.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. That I think that, you know, I'm willing to, you know, hold my nose and accept it here with, you know, we're excited about so much else.
Yes, it's happening. So
it's happening. It's happening.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you think Tommy would do if he was on season 40? Who'd be worried about him?
I mean, Sandra would definitely be worried about him.
Okay. Sandra.
Because Sandra said that when everyone came to IOI, they all said Tommy was their number. He was their number one.
Yeah.
So I think Sandra right off the bat would be like, oh, no, Tommy's got to go. I don't know, though.
Do you think she's going to have a lot of pull, though? I feel like
Sandra.
That,
yeah. Oh, absolutely not. I unfortunately think that
I think
being
she's
on
been
IOI,
running for her life. I don't think.
I think that IOI may have hurt her. I think. And that sucks because it's like also because she's a 2-time winner. It's like I think people are thinking going in, we can't let her be a 3-time winner because then she's going to have that reign over all of us, which I would love to see all day long.
Yes.
And then I think Rob also is going to have to sort of put up a fight because of the same reasons. And then with Amber, with that connection too, I think I think those three are going to have it the hardest. But yeah. Oh, and Ethan's playing like this is like going to be so cool to watch. Like it feels you played with Ethan.
I was on the island at the same time. I've never been on the beach at the same time, other than competing against him in challenges.
Yeah. So it's just like, it's just going to be
but
so
But I've known
cool.
him for, you know, almost, you know, 18 years or whatever.
See,
yeah.
That's amazing. I it's just going to be so cool to see all of these people that have played over the years kick ass and win. And it'll be interesting to see, too, like how people's games have changed, if at all.
Yeah.
Or what kind of game you're going to play.
Can you tell us just the mindset of somebody who just played? So if you were one of these people who was coming off of like a newer season that if you were out there, I mean, how much do you feel like you would be, you know, starstruck? And would you be like, oh, I need to like, oh, this person is my hero. I have to work with them.
Oh, God. Yeah, I think I would totally be that person. I wouldn't want to be. Like, I would be like, oh, I'm not gonna, you know, but I can't hide how I feel. And I think...
Well, I can relate because that's kind of how I was when I played in the first All-Stars that I came back and I was the person who, other than Rupert, you know, had been the most recent to play. And I was like, oh, we can't vote out this person. We can't vote out this person. Like, you know, let's vote out the people who, like, don't really deserve to be here as much.
Yeah.
And that's not how other people looked at it.
Yeah. It would be very hard to not do that or to not play that game. But I think if you want to win, you can't play
right
that game.
You can't get caught up in that.
Yeah.
Is your husband very into the show?
He is. We actually watch it together. He made a joke because he did the Survivor run when he came out on family visit, and he's like, why did I do that? I'm like, because we've been watching
what's
it for
the
years.
Survivor run?
It's when Jeff is like, all right, your brother's not your sister, but your sister's your sister. Come on out. Like whatever he says. And then they run out and Matt did it. He like jogged out to me and it's like not that far. Like he came out from behind a bush.
What should you do? What's the right move? Just walk? Casual?
Catwalk? I don't know. I guess the Survivor run is that's the way to go.
I think there's a lot of pressure of like, all right, camera's rolling.
Well,
let's.
And I have to tell you, that's skidoo. The thing. My husband is very shy. And when you get out there and there's 40 cameras on you and they kept saying to him, don't look at the drone. Don't look at the drone. He looks right at the drone. Couldn't help it. But yeah, it is very nerve wracking for them. And I think, too, the natural instinct is to be like, oh, my God, let me get to you. But it's so fleeting and so brief. Just like, but it was good to see him.
Yeah. Is that something that you guys bonded over? Was he a big fan?
Oh,
from,
yeah. Oh, yeah. This is something I tell him blood versus water. Like, it doesn't have to be second chances. It can be blood versus water, Jeff.
Yes.
But yeah, this is something that we've always talked about and joked about. And I've always said I wanted to play. And my husband is great in the way of, like, no matter what crazy idea I have, mm-hmm. even if he thinks somewhere in his mind yeah. it's like too crazy, he'll still support me. So yeah. And he wouldn't want, like, he's not social. So I think for him, it would be very hard for him to mm-hmm. say, like, I'm going to go play Survivor. But because I wanted him to do it, he would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Lauren Pratt wants to know if Lauren and Missy would have started the game on the same tribe, does Lauren think that she and Missy would have run the game instead of you and Tommy?
I wholeheartedly believe that if Missy and I started on the same tribe, that it would have been a different game in mm-hmm. the end. Because I think, so then would that mean that Aaron was on the other side? Because I think we both went to the physical shields on our tribe. She went to Aaron, I went to Tommy.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, we would, especially because we had finals week together and, like, we made yeah. eyes at each other and cheers to each other. And, like, it was like an unspoken thing. If we start together, we will finish together. I think Missy would have tried to cut me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that Missy plays so hard that I think it's, I don't think you can do that for 39 days.
Well, you can't. And it makes you crazy. And it gets to a point where, like, we saw Nora counting heart leaves.
Yeah.
Missy did the same thing with shells. And it's like, once you get to a point in the game where you're, like, overthinking, you're overanalyzing, it's too much. And that's when it's mm-hmm. probably not going to fare the way that you think it is. Yeah, I can't imagine having to play that hard that long. But I think, too, like, even when I hit the beach, it was like, I am playing hard, but I want to play more under the radar hard. I don't want to come out and be like, I'm going to beast mode through these challenges, because I don't want people to see me as that. I want people to see me as somebody they want to mm-hmm. bring along that's going to sort of help them versus somebody that's going to spearhead and tell you what to do all the time. I was very good at making people feel like they were coming up with ideas.
That's good. You want that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without being too pushy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Stephanie Haber wants to know, when and how did you guys find out that Rob and Sandra were watching the tribal councils? It seems so weird we never got to see a big reveal.
We did not know until the first episode that Rob and Sandra were in their little coop hanging out.
Yeah.
Like, I had no idea. It was yeah. beyond me. And it's a little bit of a bummer that there wasn't a reveal or some kind of something at the end. I
really thought that once then that they came out the final five, and then it was like, okay, then, and then they were going to at least watch the tribal council. I don't know where it came from that, oh, Rob and Sandra are going to vote. I thought all season, like, well, oh, this is a spoiler and we're just, you know, this is just, like, I guess, like, we're talking about it like speculation, but it's definitely a spoiler because there's so many people are talking about Rob and Sandra are going to vote at the final tribal council.
That's exactly right. Everyone thought that. Now, when they read the thing to me saying that they had no impact on the game, I knew. I was like, okay, they're not going to. Nora had this idea in her head. She's like, they're going to steal votes. I'm like, Nora, that is not how Survivor works. They're not going to steal final votes.
Was there anybody having a concern that Rob and Sandra are going to enter the game at some point?
No, because they said that they couldn't enter. They said that it was written down yeah. on a thing, and it was like, we cannot enter. I never had that feeling yeah. that they were going to enter the game, because my thought was, when we come to IOI, we're giving them information.
Right.
And that would not be fair. It's kind of like,
would not be fair.
Yeah. It's kind of yeah. like the cat. Like, we have 10%. Production has everything.
Yeah.
Sandra and Rob have everything. We have 10%. You know, that wouldn't be fair. So I never thought that. I did think at the end they were going to get to choose, like, something like, who did the best IOI test? Mm-hmm. Me.
Yeah.
So I was holding out hope for that, but they didn't. And the way they left was very abrupt. Like, we get there and I'm like, do you guys have food? Sandra's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, we're going to get to sit down with these legends and, like, talk to them and eat. And they're like, all right, bye, we're leaving. And I was like, mm-hmm. oh, that's weird. And then the fact that they weren't at Final Tribal was also strange. I'm like, it was just really bizarre.
They had to get ready for 40.
Yeah, no, and so. Fair enough. So day 36, they left. So yeah, but I thought that they would have had
their contract. Yeah. They had to get 3 weeks off.
Yeah, makes sense.
Earlier, I heard you do Elaine voice.
Do I? Oh, you heard me doing it.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Do you feel like you have Elaine down?
I mean, I feel like Elaine has me down.
Yes. She could do you.
Yeah, she can. You know, yes, I love Elaine to death. She's one of those people that is so true to who she is. Mm-hmm. And I, a lot of people, it's funny because Reddit was mad at me for saying that I didn't think Elaine was strategic enough to have an idol.
Yes.
And they said that I was calling her dumb, which yes. is not true. Elaine is very smart. Mm-hmm. Elaine was able to play up the fact that it seemed like she didn't know mm-hmm. anything about Survivor. So kudos to Elaine for fooling me.
Yes.
Because she did know what she was doing. But yeah, she's great. I'll have to tell you, one time we were sitting in the hammock laughing for like hours and hours. And she was telling me how she goes coon hunting. And I was like, that sounds like some racist shit. What are you talking about? And she was like, no, Lauren, what you do is your dogs chase them and they go up in the tree and then you shoot. I was like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
And like, she just, because we're so different, I remember we were singing Cardi B one day.
And I think, let the viewers know what she's talking about.
Oh, about coon hunting? Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Please.
To clear, yes. It was not racist. She was talking about raccoons, that, yes, that dogs yes. chase raccoons up a tree. But she did have to explain this to me.
Right.
Because I had no idea. And then I was telling her about Cardi B and like singing songs. And she's like, why does this girl have bloody shoes? Mm-hmm. And like, so now that's my ringtone. Elaine still uses ringtones for
yes.
people. But she, it sucks that like you didn't see a lot of our relationship because we got very, very close. That girl is as real as they come. And I've learned so much from her. She's so freaking great.
Mm-hmm.
She's fabulous.
Can you do anybody else's impression from your season?
Who's a good?
There's not.
Hey, grasshoppers. Good morning. You know who that is? Grasshoppers. It's 3 a.m. Let's get going. Let's get it going.
No, who is that?
It's Tom.
Oh, I forgot all about Tom Laidlaw.
That's Tom. And then who else? No one else really had like.
Were you ever on the tribe with him?
No, no. But that's his thing. Literally on Instagram.
He calls like, people grasshoppers.
At 3 a.m. If you go to his Instagram right now, it will say, hey, grasshoppers, let's get it going. Grasshoppers. It's 3 a.m. You got the whole day. Get it done. I'm Tom Laidlaw. National Hockey League.
He does announce himself, I feel, a lot.
I'm Tom Laidlaw.
Formally.
Yeah, let's if you see. Literally, I don't have service in here, but.
Okay, so watch it. Insta story?
Yes,
or
his Insta story.
Okay.
I'm going to laugh so hard if it is.
All right, let me see.
Grasshoppers, Monday morning. And you know what? It happened again today. I woke up feeling better today than I felt yesterday. It keeps on happening. I don't know what it is. Let's go get it done. Have a great day.
Get it done.
What is Tom Laidlaw doing every day?
He's getting it done, Rob. What do you mean? He's working out. And
is he on performance-enhancing substances? Why does he keep
getting... He's getting it done. Whatever it is, he's getting it done. And I love Tom. I didn't get to spend a lot of time with him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as far... Yeah, impressions, nobody really... No one else really.
I just feel like that, and I don't know why I get that. I just feel like that you can do impressions.
I can.
Yeah.
Well, did you read my bio that I can do a Britney Spears impersonation?
Oh, I had forgotten about it.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it is.
No, but I just feel like that you have so much like inflection in your voice
yeah.
that I feel like.
I do.
I bet.
Yeah. I have to tread lightly because some of our cast is very bitter.
Yes.
And people get upset and people get their feelings hurt. It's funny. Everyone's like, with these tell-alls, we're getting further and further apart, like not as close, which sucks. But I think the people that are going to be close are always going to be close. And the people that aren't going to be.
Okay. I was just asking about impressions. I don't know why this turned into.
Listen, Rob, this is what's happening. This is season 41.
If the season 39 cast hasn't already cracked, then nothing's going to tear you guys apart. But. Can you do Britney Spears? Can we?
Do you
get
want
that?
Me to do it now?
I mean, when would you want to do it?
All right, ready. Hold on, let me drink some water.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have to? Are you gonna
just
sing?
Just don't look at me while I do
okay.
it.
Okay. Don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
Okay. Ready? All right.
I'm gonna
sure.
do it.
Okay. Sure.
I also just did this on the audition I went on in Philly. This is probably why I didn't get the job. Ready?
Okay.
Okay. I'm not a girl. I'm not a girl. Don't tell me what to believe. Yeah. That's it.
That's great. That was great.
You caught me off guard. I'm nervous.
So, I'm sorry. Well, it's hard to do as somebody who gets asked to do stuff like this.
Yeah.
It is hard to do on the spot. Did you just knew that you could do Britney? Or
I love Britney, and it's like a joke. Like I was a waitress at Red Lobster when I was like 18.
Oh.
Yeah, the lob. And we used to have a mic where we would like call out orders to the chef. So I would practice my Britney Spears on that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just have fun. I'm very silly.
Yeah.
You know? I'm a silly girl.
Yeah. Do you do anybody else? Any other famous people?
No, but from every now and again, I get a very posh British accent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where it comes from. Sometimes I like to go out and pretend that I have that accent all night. And then you get a little tipsy and it goes away. So, yeah.
Is that good that then you could sort of, you don't have to talk to as many people if you have an accent?
There you go. That's the goal. No, listen, Rob, when I go to a bar, I leave with 100 new best friends.
100 new best friends.
I just love people.
I get that about you. It does seem like that you go places and make a lot of friends. And that seems like that would be more of a curse than a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, in Survivor, it definitely is.
Yeah.
I think that my husband doesn't like it either. We will be out somewhere and he'll be like, babe, don't say it. Don't say it. Because I'll see someone and I'll be like, oh my God, her shirt is so cute. Don't say it. And I have to. Like, it comes out of me. Like, I'm like, I love your shirt. Where did you get it?
Yeah.
Tell me now. And then we end up having a full-on conversation about it. And my husband's just sitting there like, okay, this is my wife.
Yeah.
This is me. It's who I am.
I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's next for you?
Oh, that's a great question, Rob. I don't know. Like I said, got my degree and I'm just sort of putting the feelers out there. I want a job. I think with the freelance life, and even Chelsea knows this because she works at IMDb.
Sure.
But she has a solidified position. I think what a lot of honor hosts and journalists run into, the problem is that those jobs just don't exist. You have to be a producer or who can also host or an editor that can do, you know, I think because I figured out this is what I wanted to do later in life, it might have hurt me a little bit because I wasn't able to go intern at E or ET or whatever, which are all the places that I would love to work for. So I'm just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm somebody that is persistent, but not a pest, and I don't take no for an answer. So I'm just putting myself out there, trying to write more, audition more. Nora told me I need to be more specific. So if I could specifically say, because she's like, Lauren, you're sort of like shooting in the dark. You say you want to do this and that. And I'm like, yeah, like I want to be a journalist. I think.
Now, is that Nora's advice as sort of, is she coaching you or is it sort of like in terms of like, are you manifesting? Do you need to be more specific in terms of telling the universe or do you need to be more specific in terms of telling
myself,
a people what you're looking for?
I think it's more of a manifestation type of thing. Like you know, and I believe in all that universe stuff when you're very positive and all of that. Like finals week, I got to the Variety job, was doing carpets for The Voice, all this stuff. And I was at finale for Survivor. Yes. And I'm like, what am I doing? And I actually said to her, I was like, I don't know how to get back to that place. So yeah, it's just putting feelers out there, trying to figure it out. If you're listening, I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, I want to work. I want to work at a network that I can put my soul into.
Can you do sort of like, you know, freelance stuff on your own to sort of like build a book to be able to then help to get to a job working for somebody else?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great idea. And I think, you know, I have been going to the library a little bit, looking up, because like I said, I love true crime. I do have my own little snowball mic. So I thought about maybe doing my own. But I also think it's important. I think in Hollywood, people are so desperate to be seen and heard that sometimes they do things that they're not necessarily passionate about and then end up putting something together that's just kind of garbage.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. I want it to be something that I love and I care about. And I think the more I'm told no, the more that pushes me towards finding out what exactly it is that I'm supposed to be doing. True crime is where my heart is. I think because of my personality and I'm very bubbly, people want to put me in a box of let's talk about celebs, which is great, and I will do it.
Let's talk about like fluffy stuff.
And it's fun and the glitz and the glamour and going to red carpets and stuff, but when I think about what I want to do, I want to give a voice to the voiceless and tell stories that aren't told, not things that we hear every day. I mean, like Lisa Ling, if I could have her career, that would be amazing. But again, she figured out she wanted to be a journalist way before I did. Mm-hmm. So I think, I mean, I've tried to reach out to Elizabeth Hasselbeck. So if you're listening, Elizabeth, I would love to talk with you and pick your brain.
What would you want to do with Elizabeth Hasselbeck?
I just want to, I mean, she was on The View. I want to pick her brain. I want to know, like, I mean, and even Andrea, I would love to know, like, what is the path? How, and mm-hmm. No, everyone's path is unique. There's no surefire way. And I think that's the thing about this industry too, that's hard. If you want to be a doctor, you go to school, you yeah. do your residency, then you graduate, whatever. With hosting or journalism, it's like you're grasping at straws trying to take every single thing you can get. And it's a mm-hmm. hustle. It's a grind. But I'm willing to do that because that's what I signed up for. And I won't be happy unless I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. So there's no like plan B or anything like that for me. I feel like that's kind of giving up on yourself before you even get started.
What about, is there a Barbie podcast? Did you get that off the ground?
There's no Barbie podcast, but there is a Netflix Barbie show, and it's actually really good. I made my husband watch it.
What do they do on the Netflix Barbie show?
It's kind of like animated.
I'm sorry to pitch that after you got done talking about, like, I want to do something serious.
It's, I know, I'm like, I want to be true crime. No one takes me seriously. Well, why don't you do a Barbie podcast? All right, Rob, thank you. Put me in my place.
And you have to forgive me. I have a small brain, and I know one thing. That's it.
No, listen. All ideas are great ideas. And I think, you never know. There might be a Barbie podcast. Who knows? Actually, Elaine, Chelsea, and I are thinking of stepping into your territory.
Oh, definitely don't do that. Don't do that. That sounds like a miss, if you ask me.
And yeah, we want to do a little something. So we'll see.
Yeah. I don't know. Barbie and Ken dating show.
Barbie and Ken dating.
But no free plugs for the other.
Yeah, yeah.
The other Barbie podcast either. So, all right. What about social? You do a lot on social. You know, are you on Cameo?
I am on Cameo.
Yes. How's that going?
It's going. Elaine got the most cameos out of all of us. She got like $2,500. Finale week. But yeah, you can look up my cameos. It's cameo.com.
I mean, it's a drop in the bucket after Sia.
Yeah. I mean, exactly right.
What was wrong with you? Why doesn't Sia think that you deserve anything?
I don't think it's that I don't deserve anything. I think that it was in that situation, Elaine and Janet were more deserving. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that I don't need money, because I do. But I think for what Janet was on the show and who Elaine was, they both deserved it. And that was great. I mean, Nora and I do talk about this. We were very surprised. But if it wasn't, what's for you is going to be for you. So if it wasn't for me, then it wasn't meant to be for me. Mm-hmm. I also think that
Sia gave money to somebody from The Circle also.
Oh,
yes.
Really?
Yes, she's watching other shows. Watch out, everybody.
You know, it's so funny you say that because I saw on Instagram, Sia is not just giving money to Survivor anymore. She's giving it to this person. And I guess that was in relation to The Circle. And I didn't realize that.
Did you watch that?
I haven't. I heard it's amazing. I'm going to watch it. But I think that, too, a lot of people didn't like. I have to tell you. So after the finale, I got an email and it was from like some fan group. And they were like, so it's been said that production signed off for you to get the Sia money because of your connection to Jeff. And I was like,
Yes. What?
Like it was so crazy. But I also think that that's can be an element of it too, because I did have a personal connection, someone that knew him. People don't know you have to jump through flaming hoops to get on the show. Mm-hmm. All I got was the introduction.
Right.
But I think people may have had a problem with me getting the money.
Yes. Okay.
Unless I won.
I'm sure Sia has no idea how you got on the show.
I think she does.
Oh, you think she does? Okay. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. All right. Uh-huh. All right.
I mean, I hope. I think she does.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
Is that something that do you feel like that people get? Like, is this something else that you get hit with of that? Like, oh, you had an untraditional way of getting onto the show through a back channel to Jeff.
Yeah. And it actually hurts because it's like, whether or not I met Jeff, I always wanted to be on Survivor. It was like I said, I was working for my boss for 3 years before I even knew that they knew Jeff or liked Survivor or anything like that. So, a lot of people are like, oh, she knows Jeff. Da, 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 she shouldn't. Even people from my cast were like, you know, you have this direct connection. You shouldn't even be on the show.
Wait, they said that during the season or after?
But because I didn't tell anybody in the game. I just said, I'm a nanny.
Somebody told you shouldn't be on the show after it filmed?
Yeah. They were like, you weren't even supposed to be on the show. Yeah. And this person knows who you are. I love you. But they were like, you, because they were
running out. Line. They is this the same person that called Jamal Jerome?
No. But yeah. But they were like, you weren't even supposed to be on the, like, saying things that were wrong with our season. Whatever.
Yeah.
I take it with a grain of salt because I know what I had to do to get on the show. Yes, I got an introduction. Yes, Jeff auditioned me right there in front of Dave Grohl and all these people. And I was super embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I had to meet a ton of other people, Matt Van Wagenen, all the producers, you know, right. And plead my case as to why I love the show. I think they're mm-hmm. they're very wary of people that are just trying to get on for, you know, I mean, like you look at The Bachelor and all these people are influencers and models and mm-hmm. whatever else. And I think Survivor and what I love about it is it's so authentic in mm-hmm. that way now, whereas I feel like in the past we've had actors and whatever and people
they don't like that.
Yeah, no. And that's fair because the point is to show people from different walks of life, which I don't know why someone couldn't be an actor because that is what happens in LA. But mm-hmm. I think people, they don't want people using it as a tool to get more clout or whatever. And so I had more to prove, to be honest. Yeah. I had more to prove and to prove why I love Survivor so much. And that was hard, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that? Do you get people now saying to you like, hey, can you talk to Jeff about me?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So you were the one. Listen, I don't think it will ever happen again. I don't think there will ever be another circumstance where a friend says to Jeff, hey, you know, I just don't think it's going to happen.
Why? You were a success story.
Yeah. But I don't think, I think it was a one and done mm-hmm. kind of thing. But yeah, I get tons of DMs like, can you? And I'm like, listen, no, like I don't have a direct connection like that to Jeff.
If you're good, you're good. That's it. It doesn't matter if you made a tape or if Jeff saw you. There's so many stories that Lynn Spillman saw Johnny Fairplay at a gas station.
See? And that they met, like, mm-hmm. you know, and she casts the show. Like that's, and I think, yeah, you just, a lot of people have to say yes on you. It can't just be mm-hmm. Probst. I'm glad that he gave me the shot because it was the shot that I've wanted for 18 mm-hmm. years. But I think that was, you could see that. I was genuine in that. And every interview that I did, I was upfront about why I wanted to play this game and how long I wanted to play this game.
And you still love Survivor.
I love Survivor.
You can't wait for
season 40. Yeah, I'm excited for newbie season too, 41 and 42. But I've been hearing about some season being unfinished business. And
oh, this is news to me.
Is okay, this so, news to you? So I heard through the grapevine that 41 and 42 could be unfinished business. However,
back to back?
However.
Yes.
I heard then that 41 and 42 are newbies. So it's like, you hear so many different things. I would love an unfinished business season. 43, let's do it.
Okay, well, look, let's keep the show on the air first. Yeah. That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that idea first. So that's, I like the direction we're going. I do think that it's a challenge after you sort of like go all out with I feel like that Survivor always struggles with this, what comes next after the big main event, where Nicaragua was a struggle. They sort of were able to avoid that with Koh Rong. They filmed it before Cambodia, so they didn't have to worry about that as much.
Yeah.
But I really think that if you wanted to, the move after you have a crazy season with the Edge of Extinction and fire tokens, just keep it. Let's get back to like Nora style, organic. Keep it, we don't need to go crazy.
We don't advantages and all of that. I would love to see modern day Survivor go back to old, because I feel like people would freak out,
but you guys play so hard. The players are playing at 200 miles an hour.
That's true.
And I don't think we need all of the weaponry.
That's true.
You know, everybody's, you know, on day, how fast were people playing on day two, day three?
We had nothing else to do.
So it's not like that you have to incentivize people to play harder and make bigger, faster moves. So I feel like that, you know, find a great group of new people for Survivor 41 and let them play and let's tell their story and get to know them and not go crazy with things. And we can unfinished business isn't going anywhere.
I agree. I would love to see that. Yeah. I'm looking forward to getting to know. And I think that's why you love past players so much, because you feel like you know them.
You certainly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then now it's like you don't get to know them as much. So mm-hmm. 40 would be a great end. too.
Well, okay. We don't have to, let's not get carried away.
I'm just saying, you know, like, I think when you have a great show and then you do have this big end, it is like, okay, how do we move forward? I don't know how they're going to do that, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, let's talk about unwinding the show too much yet. But let's
keep the show on the air. Look, I want to play again.
Many of us, you know, have things that, oh, I think I would change this. I would change this. I would change this. Okay, but we don't need to throw the whole thing in the garbage, okay?
Don't throw the whole show away. I agree with that.
We can fix things.
It can be fixed. Yeah. Sure. I'll give you that.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm more of a reform rather than
scrap
revolution in terms of the show. Just like
I can see it.
There's things we can improve, certainly.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed.
But
I'm looking forward to it.
We don't need to, you know, blow up the whole thing. All right. Sorry. Okay.
He's passionate, guys.
Yes. Look,
Love Survivor.
I do too. I do love it, and it's a huge part of my life.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Lauren. So nice to get to see you in person. I'm very excited to hear that you're going to be with us at our big premiere.
It's going to be
in a
fun.
A couple of weeks.
I'm very stoked.
Very excited about that. You're very excited for Survivor 40. I hope you want to come and talk with us more about the new season.
I'd love that.
Where can people say, I asked you about social and I started talking about like Cameo.
Yes. So Cameo, it's cameo.com/LaurenAshleyBeck at Lauren Ashley Beck on Instagram and Lauren Ashley Beck on Facebook. I do not have Twitter. I didn't have it before the game. So I was like,
is Lauren Ashley a first name and middle name?
Yes. First and middle. But I did Lauren Ashley because there's a lot of Laurens in the hosting world. So
got
I wanted
it,
to be different.
Should we refer to you as Lauren Ashley?
Yes, okay. Absolutely. It's funny. All my friends call me Lauren Ashley Beck. Like it all just sort of flows off the tongue.
Yeah.
So Lauren Ashley.
Did they call
Beck,
you
Lauren
Lab?
Ashley. Lab? Absolutely. Yeah. Sure.
L-A-B?
Yeah. L-A-B. Can I just say one more thing?
You can say whatever you want.
I told my husband, I was like, I want people to call me LB. Like, that's a cool nickname. I want people to call me LB.
LB.
He goes, babe, why do you want people to call you Pound?
Oh.
And I'm like, really? And then when I get to freaking pregame, all over all my stuff is LB, LB. I'm like, oh my God, this is a sign. So I was convinced the Survivor gods were on my side and they were calling me LB and I was going to kick ass.
And what did your LB stand for?
Lauren Beck.
Oh, I know that, but they give you that at least I went through, did you have your alias?
Yes. My alias was, it's actually my mother's name, which is Lisa.
Yes.
And my last name was Bishop. Lisa Bishop.
Lisa Bishop.
It's a very nice name.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, my alias, I think was Ray Carr. I think Carr was the last name. I forget if I was Ray or not, but they, you know, it's like,
you definitely don't look like a Ray.
But. Right. I think I like had to like check into the hotel when I first got to sequester. Like, they're like, okay, what's your name, sir? Ray.
Ray. You say it under your breath, like, it's Ray Carr. I'm like, Lisa, I think. Yeah. Yeah, all good fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was very fun to get to talk with you and get to catch up.
Yeah. Thank you for having me,
Rob. Anything else you
want
to let people know about you or anything?
No, I think, you know, what I want to say is I want people to, even though this is over, when I look back on all of our experience, what I want people to understand the most about everyone on my cast is that we are all people, we're human. And given the circumstances, I think everyone try to put their best foot forward. And so I just want to say, like, just for people to try to be gentler with the things that they say, and just realize that you are watching a story and you have to understand that you're watching a story. And so, yeah. And I also want to thank my cast for being there for me, loving me. I love them. And I'm grateful for our bonds and I can't wait to see them. We're having a big thing in March in the Pocono Mountains.
Wow.
With all of us. And so that's going to be really fun. We're going to play Survivor games and all that good stuff.
You guys aren't sick of playing Survivor?
No, listen, there's so many of us. Everyone thinks they're going back for second chances. So,
practicing.
So everyone wants to get ready for the game. Yeah. But yeah, I just want everyone to practice a little more kindness. And I'm going to do the same.
Okay. All right. Lauren, thank you so much.
Take care, Rob.
Everybody. We've got so much more coming up this week. We are not done yet with our Survivor 40 previewing, so be on the lookout for that. I mentioned my interview with Vesepia from earlier this week, roundtable number 5 as well, and much more. So to get even more, Rob, it's a podcast. You want to get more information on everything we're doing in our Rob is a Podcast Facebook groups, our Rob is a Podcast patron podcast feed. Head on over to robhitswebsite.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.